Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
I feel it. I feel it. It's Friday. Good morning. Nice to see you, Mark Riley.
Good to see you, Mark Maron.
It's been a long week of conversations and fun and excitement here on Morning Sedition.
And it's not done yet.
It's not done yet. We've got a full day here. We've got Barney Frank coming up in an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some other guests. We're going to talk about some other stuff.
Martha Stewart in the big house.
Yeah, the attorney. Now I'm spacing her name again. I'm liking it. Elaine Whitfield-Sharp is going to be here, but that's like 3 hours from now. So if you're listening throughout the entire show, God bless you.
And
you
keep streaming.
May whatever God you believe in bless you.
Now, remember now, you can, once you get out of your car, all right, if you're listening to an Air America affiliate, once you get out of your car, you can stream on the net at airamericaradio.com. And, Morning Sedition. You can stream on Morning Sedition. I didn't know that.
Yeah, morningsedition.com is a fully operational website. We have services that will benefit you there.
And dazzle you.
Soon there will be pictures of me and Mark Riley having the good time that we have every morning in the radio station.
That's right.
You know?
Stretching.
Yeah, and, of course, Chris, our board op, he's the photographer. We didn't take any pictures of you, dude.
Yeah, we didn't. The infamous Kalo.
That's a good thing. you
got to give me the camera and take some. It's so funny because people who don't really know what a radio studio looks like.
Because
when I listened to radio when I was a kid, you just assume that there's a party going on all the time. There's people hanging
out.
And because when you're in your car, you're at home, and you're listening to the guys talk, you're like, wow, they're having a great time. Then you see the pictures, like, that's them? They're just sitting there?
You know, there used to be a DJ in New York called Cousin Bruce Morrow.
Yeah.
All right, Cousin Brucey. And he used to do this Saturday night party where they'd have all these party noises in the back. So I'm growing up listening to WABC, thinking that there's an actual party going on in the studio. And then I find out it's a stinking piece of tape. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man, I told you that Bobby Box story, I think. That was what broke the big illusion for me when I was in seventh grade.
And
KQEO AM was the station that people listened to. And Bobby Box was the DJ. And everybody liked Bobby Box. And he had that great name and that great voice. And then Bobby Box was coming to our school to host a dance. And we were like, wow, Bobby Box is coming. And the dude was like 4 feet tall. He had his hair was in like a bouffant. White guy with a bouffant hairdo. And like a matching plaid suit. And we were like, dude, Bobby Box is a freak. How do we get him out of our gym? But it just sort of broke the whole illusion for me, the radio. I was just going to say something. I can't remember what I was going to say.
A lot of people in radio back in the day used to have, like, bad rugs, too.
I guess that thing about the face for radio, maybe that's true. I mean, but I saw Imus on TV yesterday. That dude is wearing a cowboy hat and sunglasses. I mean, it gets sort of sad, after a certain point that, like, what is he, like 100?
Something like
100
that.
100 in DJ years?
Yeah. And especially wearing sunglasses indoors, that's like from 35 years. That was when I was in high school, guys used to do that.
Well, you always see dudes like that. Even our own Barry Crimmins is on this poster wearing sunglasses. It's like at some point after a certain age, the Ray-Bans don't mean cool. They mean sad. But, it doesn't mean you got the fighting spirit, man.
No.
But I was watching Imus on TV. That's right. I saw him on the news, and he had Kerry and Edwards on, And he hit him with this question that they hit George Bush Sr. with many years ago, what's the price of milk in Albuquerque? That's what he was asking Edwards, to see if the guy was really
a man of the people.
Yeah, but who the hell knows what milk costs? Do you know what anything costs anymore? I mean, usually it's like I just pay the guy. You know what I mean? I just like I go in when I need milk and I pay the guy. And if I don't want to pay a lot for milk, I go to a regular supermarket. If I need the milk, I go to the convenience store. But I usually don't pay attention to how much the milk costs. Should I be?
About $1.79 for half gallon.
All right. Well,
I know because I do the shopping for my family.
Right. I watch prices, though. I try to get the lowest price thing, but I don't always register how much things cost, if that makes sense.
Well, as long as it tastes good, because I was a very picky eater as a kid. I used to get in trouble. My mother used to smack me all the time for refusing to eat stuff. I'm probably the only black person alive who refuses to eat chitlins.
Yeah.
Will not touch it. Never did.
But what is that? That's pig guts?
Yeah, pig guts.
Oh, man, you know, I can't, you know,
it
come on.
It smelled so bad when my mother, because you have to clean them before you cook
you
them.
You don't got to feel bad about eating that. I mean, I think any, you know, I think there's plenty of black people that are like, you know, I'm not going to eat chitlins. It's pig guts.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pig guts, Martha Stewart's going No, we can't really do that segment, can
no,
we?
No, but well, what I was going to say about pig guts, I want to keep talking. It's Friday. We're not going to go this story yet. Don't listen to Jonathan. You know what I mean? It's not like we're... It's not like we're cutting to some, you know, like cutting, you know, pressing news. It's like, we got to get to the Martha Stewart stuff.
Yeah. Hey, but, she's going to jail.
My stepmom, who is Mexican-American, mm-hmm. comes from a family of like 14.
Okay.
You know, they lived, they grew up down in the barrio. Her name, my stepmom's name is Rosie. They actually had, because the Mexican people have their version of chitlins.
Yes.
It's called chicharrones. All right, and these are, but they're not quite chitlins. What they are, they're just this slab of pig fat with a little dangling piece of pig meat on it, and they just fry them.
Okay.
And they fry them until they become crispy, almost like
pork. Oh, like chicharrón de pollo. Yeah. I know what it is.
But this family was so big, they actually have this like large gas powered wok in the back of in the backyard that's planted in the ground just for cooking chicharrones.
Really?
Yeah, man. And the first time I went over there, it was a huge party. And they were doing it. I'd never seen it done before. Just this like huge gas wok filled of, you know, pig fat with little pieces of pig meat on them, and then you put them on a, you know, a tortilla or whatever you
want. Wow.
And I, like, no matter how much stuff I put on them, I just didn't dig it. And I'm a big bacon fan, you know.
I've never really been a pork fan generally. I used to like bacon.
Pork chops, love the pork chops.
I couldn't do, well, you do pork shins. Oh, yeah. I remember, we can get into a pork shin conversation.
I love pork roasts. I love barbecued pork.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. For a Jewish guy.
You push the envelope.
I do, man.
Sure.
I'm pushing the envelope. I'm right up in the face of God going, look at me. I'm eating a pork chop. What are you going to do about it? Come on.
Uh-huh. Is there an eternal damnation clause in there somewhere?
For Jews?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Okay, I don't know, because I'd like to know more about the Jewish religion.
You know what, Mark? I would, too. As much as I talk about stuff, about not believing or being on the fence about stuff, it's primarily because I'm lazy.
Okay.
So it takes too much effort to believe.
To believe,
to know the context. So let's talk about Martha Stewart, since it is at the top of the news. And it does
she's
going to jail.
Yeah.
But I like the way they said it in the report. Jacob Frankel, a former federal prosecutor and Securities and Exchange Commission lawyer, who is in a private practice in Washington, says, I don't think there's any question that there will be a prison component.
Yeah, right.
Rephrase it. She's going
to jail! Absolutely. And, I mean, you know, Martha Stewart, I think a lot of people are conflicted about Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
On the one hand, a lot of people who have followed the case, and remember that it played out right here in New York City, a lot of people don't know what exactly it is that she did that was so bad. And I'm talking about people who hate her.
She was in cahoots. Her buddy, the guy from iClone, is that the name?
M-Clone.
M-Clone.
Yeah.
Basically, they had a relationship where she was informed that it was time to
sell a stock.
Right.
Okay. So she had inside information. But that's not what they convicted her for.
What they convicted her for?
They convicted her for lying about having the inside information. They never convicted her for actually having the inside information.
So is that, it's not... perjury? Is it?
It's kind of sort of.
Is it clear?
See, I don't know if you could call it perjury because I don't think. I think she lied to federal investigators, not in a court. And I think for in order for it. Forgive me because I'm not a lawyer. I have a couple in my family who I should probably be calling about now because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I think in order for it to be in court, you have to kind of sort of. For it to be perjury, it has to be in court. And I think she lied to federal investigators who were looking into. The whole M-Clone stock situation.
See, I'm a Martha sympathizer, I have to say.
You are.
I think that she's being made an example of because she's easy to hate. I think she's being made an example of because she's a woman. I think that if they're going to put her in jail, they should put all the Enron guys in jail for even more because they built people out of their life savings. Martha made it, you know, I had a friend who owned a company, and they were all in, you know, they... She got some inside information. I understand that. I'm sure it happens all the time. But it wasn't like she was bilking people out of their money. And I happen to, you know, call me weird, but I like crazy women on television. I like Martha Stewart.
But she doesn't look crazy. If she looked crazy, I would watch her every day. But she doesn't look crazy. She looks like, if, you know, if the world was ending around her, she'd still be making souffles.
Right. It's not that kind of crazy. Well, she has what I call inspired OCD.
Okay.
where what she does is that she just has an you know, just unbounded amount of energy, and she's compulsively applying it to little things. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, and you may judge me for how, you know, I'm sure some of our trucker buddies are going to be like, that Marin. But, yeah. You know, I've actually cooked some of the recipes in her magazine.
Oh, now you really go there. Look, I'm conflicted about this. I was going to play devil's advocate because you're a Martha supporter. There are some people who will argue, look, you know, she committed a crime. She's a white-collar criminal. She'll probably go to a country club jail. The federal sentencing guidelines suggest something on the order of 10 to 16 months. Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
10 to 16 months, and you got to sell your house? you have no life when you get out? You're going to be in, at most, less than a year and a half.
Well, there's rumors that she's actually going to make the jail a condo.
A condo.
But, no, I don't know why she's selling her house. I don't know how connected that really is. She can't be, you know, hurting that much. I got to assume that she's got some money stashed. She had a huge company. I wish that they would put her on put a LoJack device on her.
And, you know, just let her, you know, walk around.
Yeah, yeah, but and still have the TV show dragging that thing around. You know, every time
ankle,
she went and worked in the garden for a segment in the garden, it'd be a beep, beep, beep. I got to go back to the house.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk more about the sort of disparity between prison sentences for white collar and regular crime and black and white populations. We'll do that in a second when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Has the war in Iraq actually made us less safe? In the July issue of Mother Jones magazine, terrorism expert Peter Bergen reports that the war has fueled al-Qaeda and ignited a global jihad. Also in Mother Jones, a revealing portrait of Teresa Hines Kerry. Journalist Gail Sheehy paints John Kerry's super-rich wife as charming, prickly, high-powered, unpredictable, and very conflicted. Plus, Mother Jones' third annual Diddley Awards. Mother Jones. Strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think. It's on newsstands now.
Recent medical studies have shown that users of Zyprexa may be at a higher risk for diabetes. If you have taken Zyprexa and have developed diabetes or high blood sugar, you may have important legal rights. At the Levin Law Firm in Pensacola, Florida, we don't charge a fee or costs unless we make a recovery for you. If you believe that you've been injured by Zyprexa, call our office for a free consultation at 1-800-297-1193. That's 1-800-297-1193. The pharmaceutical companies has its lawyers. Let the Levin Law Firm be yours.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
One of the great searing guitar riffs. I guess that was probably a... early 70s, maybe late 60s, Creedence
late
Clearwater.
60s, yeah.
Nice. They always surprise me with what's going to come into my head. And that, you know, it seems that I mention something like, that's a great song, and then it magically appears in my head before a segment. Some things to look forward to on Morning Sedition. Hopefully, next week we're going to have a way of reporting on the continuing crisis in Iraq, even though we are not overseeing that government specifically. We're going to put together some sort of terror watch segment hopefully over the weekend and begin doing that on a daily basis.
Just that's so right. Everybody else has stopped, but we're not.
Just so we're not like the mainstream media who is going to somehow, you know, jump on the Bush train and allow that festering, boiling pot of terrorism and hate to continue to simmer without recognition. Talking more about Martha Stewart, the charges are conspiracy, obstruction of justice, making false statements.
Two counts.
Yes, and it seems that she will be doing, you know, up to a year to a year and a half, perhaps, in prison. She's in a tough place because apparently if she says she didn't do anything wrong, the judge could to go at 16 months because she didn't express the proper remorse. If she says that she did do something wrong as contrite, she could get the same amount of time for being honest.
Yeah, right.
But there is a tremendous disparity in the prison populations, obviously, and in the way that people are sent to prison and, you know, white-collar crime versus, you know, good old-fashioned. What do they call the other one? Blue-collar or?
No, just street crime.
Just street crime.
Street crime.
There's
plain
white-collar
street crime,
and there's people who work as criminals.
Yes. Right?
People who I guess it's the
people
same
who, due to circumstance, expose themselves to criminal sanction more often than others.
Who get caught in the crossfire.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's exactly
so,
it.
What are these numbers here, Riley?
Well, we got a bunch of numbers, and we also want to let the audience know that in there's, again, speculation. This will all be made final, I guess, before the end of the day.
See, I think that someone like Martha Stewart could have been, you know, could, this is a great example of creative rehabilitation. That, you know, somebody with the type of talents that she has, you know, should be assigned to a very specific type of community service on a broad level. You know, obviously.
That's what she suggested.
I mean, that's the way it should be handled.
Apparently, they told her no on that. She wanted to work out in Brooklyn, I think, with a women's center or something in Brooklyn.
But I think that she should do it within the wherever she goes. She better make some friends quick.
And show them
some tricks that so they don't show her some. You dig what I'm saying?
Well, she's supposed to be. The speculation is that she may end up in Danbury, Connecticut, which I know quite well because I used to live just outside Danbury.
Is that a hardcore prison?
No, minimum security.
Oh.
They're not talking about any max security.
You can go on walks.
Yeah, you go on walks. They don't really, you know, the grates are not quite as, the bars aren't as, you know.
Can you go into
industrial
town to go shopping?
No.
Oh, all right.
No. But, you know, there was a lot of talk about the possibility of her being, well, you know, the sentencing is going forward today in part because the judge in the case, Miriam Cederbaum, rejected her lawyer's contention that the federal sentencing guidelines were unconstitutional because of a ruling by the Supreme Court. So, you know, they were trying to find a lot of different ways not to get her locked up.
Well, I mean, I think there is a double standard. And as I said before, I think that if they're going to prosecute her for any amount of time, that they better go after Ken Lay. They better put all of those other guys, the men who, you know, really bilked people out of billions of dollars into jail, who helped, you know, destabilize the world.
Do you think that they're locking her up because she's a woman? Do you think that there is a difference gender-wise between what will happen to her and what will happen to Ken Lay?
My gut feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with it. I don't think they're just assessing her as a regular corporate criminal. I think they're, you know, they want to take the bitch down, as they say.
All right. Now, she might do, under federal sentencing guidelines, 10 to 15 months. The average prison sentence for drug possession, 4.2 years. Prison sentence for robbery, 9.7. Prison sentence for burglary, 5.8. And people incarcerated for nonviolent offenses, which I guess Martha Stewart's would be considered nonviolent offenses, 76% of the increase in the prison population from 1978 through 1996 were for nonviolent offenses. Now, this is drug possession, drug sales, the kind of street-level stuff.
Well, that's because in collusion with the government, the prison industry said, we need a way to expand our business. We need to get more people who aren't guilty of the bad things into prison and bilking the government out of money that could be used in a more creative way.
Well, that's called the prison industrial complex.
Absolutely.
A lot of people say that, you know,
Wackenhut.
Yeah, they've decided to use particularly young black men as the fodder for the prison system keeping people employed in places like Dannemora, mm-hmm. upstate New York, that nobody would ever visit under any circumstances were it not for the fact that a prison is there. Now, blacks make up about 13% of the regular drug users in the United States. They make up 62%. What am I saying? We make up 62.7% of all drug offenders who end up in prison. Now, the information that we have keeps saying admitted like they were going to college or something.
I'm sorry, can we see your rap sheet? We don't know if you're right for our prison.
Rap sheet and SAT, please. You know, I mean, but yeah, they're talking about admissions.
While there are five times as many white drug users as black users, black men are admitted, again, there's that word, to state prisons for drug offenses at a rate that is 13.4 times greater than that of white men.
You know, I've actually heard people on television and radio defending all of this logic. Not the logic, the facts and the logic behind it.
When I do Tough Crowd, I hear that crap all the time.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's because they deserve it.
Yeah. Who's doing the crimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always it.
But see, you know, drug use is let's not get into that. I don't want to expose myself.
Okay. No. All right. Well, you don't have to. Let's move on to... Let's move out of Martha Land, because I'm sure there's that guy who called yesterday. He's like, there are important issues. Why can't they talk about what's important? The world is ending. We're fighting for our lives. The guy, I wish he would have been put on the air. I mean, I was making a joke yesterday about something, you know, at the opening of the hour, and some guy calls up and goes, what's wrong with them? We're fighting for our lives. Talk about the issues.
All right, let's talk about the issue. John Kerry, how about that for an issue?
Yep.
Spoke Thursday at the NAACP convention in Philadelphia, and he says that this appearance is kicking off a series of, quote, front porch tours going to the homes of regular people. And, you know, he is...
Why do you have to use the word porch at the NAACP?
Yeah, I know.
All right, okay. All right, we'll let it go.
You know, I thought about that, too. I wasn't going to say nothing, but since you brought it up...
Well, it's got to be a porch.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But, hey, you know, I guess really that, you know, they... I don't know why they would use it.
You know, there's just like, there's certain things like, it's like the oversight, you know, the intentional oversight of Hillary Clinton. And I'm not criticizing completely, but it's like, be aware of your language. And this is one of the problems that the black community is having with John Kerry, is that he doesn't seem to be appealing to them. He doesn't seem to be reaching out with an effective program for them. And obviously, you know, there was a certain amount of insensitivity in the language. I mean, come on.
Well, he said front porch.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. That's all right then.
Is that okay?
I don't know, man. I mean, obviously it's okay, but the issues around the black community and John Kerry, I'd like to talk to you more about, because
we're going to get into that, and you know, there is a lot to talk about on that level still to come. Guess who's bad mouthing the NAACP now? Plus the liberal agenda and more here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration continues to play hardball with the United Nations. It's refusing to turn over information. The United Nations auditor is now examining more than $1 billion in contracts awarded to Halliburton and other companies in Iraq without competitive bidding. UN rep to the panel investigating the contracts says his requests have been rebuffed since March. There's more information this morning that Pentagon has not come completely clean about the issue of prisoner abuse at the infamous Abu Ghraib facility in Iraq. attack. Washington Post was reporting on new details and images far worse than what was revealed before. This allegedly includes children being sodomized. India is the scene of horrific fire, killing some 70 school children. Many of them were under the age of 10. Reports say their bodies have been badly burned. And the Department of Homeland Security has imposed a dress code that has aroused the ire of federal air marshals. Many of them contend they feel uneasy doing their job because of the required dress suits. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Have you been asking yourself, where's my official Air America Radio t-shirt, tote bag, travel mug, and baseball cap? Well, they're here. Just go to airamericaradio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner. It's that easy.
You'll need money and a credit card.
Check out our Air America Radio classic thong and dog shirt.
Note, these are two separate items. Do not put an Air America Radio thong on your dog. That would be wrong.
Get all your Air America gear at airamericaradio.com. Wear the air.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yow!
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
The Majority Report.
Sancito has been asleep on the couch because he's sick as a dog. Because what does he do? He marches down to Chinatown last night at the crack of 4 a.m. and eats some duck.
You know, when you get the duck on the street.
Off the street, no less.
It's much cheaper.
On a stick.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
On a stick. I can't encourage it for other people.
Whatever possessed you, Sam?
I got duck on a stick on the street. I just love the duck.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Hey, you guys, take it easy. It's Friday. Just take it easy. Relax. Enjoy. You know what I mean?
And for those of you who want a black journalist,
yeah.
Listen to another station. do you want from me?
We are covering the thing. You know, it's weird that there's different types of listeners, you know. We got a phone call that somebody wanted.
A black journalist on the show.
And we're covering the stuff. It's like there's some people that like think that the message needs to be out there, and there are other people that listen to reaffirm the message that's in their heads, and then there are other people that listen to because they, you know, enjoy and it's entertaining comedy bits like this one. We've got the presidential palm pilot just came in from Joey. His name is now Joey, undercover in the Oval Office. Kick that music, man. What happened?
That was wrong music.
Did we lose the music? Did something happen? We don't have music for this, do we?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Here's the president's schedule today. 6 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Got to get up early to win the swing states. Kerry's been up for 2 hours, bastard. 10:30 a.m. Arrive in Tampa. God, I love the smell of Florida in the morning. Smells like victory. 10:45 a.m. Make remarks at training conference on human trafficking. Find out if they're being trained to fight it or do it. Alter remarks accordingly. 12:30 p.m. Fly from Florida to West Virginia. Check on swing state frequent flyer miles. 2 p.m. aboard Air Force One. Call Dick Cheney. Assure him his place on the ticket is secure. Then quietly initiate Operation Enduring Angina. 4:05 p.m. Speak at rally. Beckley, West Virginia. Beckley. God, the things I do for swing states. If I'd stayed out of Iraq, I could have avoided this place entirely. 4:10 p.m. Speech at Beckley. Reemphasize need for constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Quietly reassure West Virginians I would never support a ban on cousins marrying. 6 p.m. Arrive back in Washington. Check answering machine for any messages from new Iraqi leaders. Erased. 9:30 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline. West Virginia victory tips national elections to Bush. Pundits say brilliant July speech at Beckley made all the difference. That's our palm buddy. Why aren't they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
And you're talking about porches and cousins.
Oh, my God. It's all their fault the world is ending. These liberals are not, they're not honoring what we're supposed to be doing, which is dictating the agenda for the people that are right.
Ugh. I just did a Jim Norton. Ugh.
Ugh. Ugh.
So, okay, let's get into this now. There's friction that we were talking about this before. There's friction within the NAACP between
NAACP.
NAACP and the Capitol Hill black community.
Well, yeah, I mean, the people in the Bush administration, absolutely. But Kerry did speak to the NAACP convention. A lot of the black people who are speaking out about the NAACP now are trying to back Bush because he didn't go to speak there. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't have anything to say about the NAACP unless it were for the fact that Bush was being criticized for not going to speak to the NAACP.
What do you think? What do you make of Republican blacks? I mean, in general, where does that come from? How many are there? Why?
See, it depends. When you talk about registered black Republicans, the number is relatively small. I don't have the exact number nationwide, but it is a relatively small number of the, overall community of black voters. The roots of black republicanism are wide and deep. Remember that for a long time in this country, from the end of slavery through the New Deal, blacks voted overwhelmingly Republican.
It must have been a different party then, clearly.
Yeah, it was considered the party of Lincoln. It was the party that freed the slaves.
Yeah.
Blacks just reflexively, plus the Democrats at the time.
Yeah.
The Southern Democrats in particular were virulent racist segregationists, so black people weren't going to be down with that. That changed with Roosevelt and the New Deal in the 1930s, where it changed largely not just because of Franklin Roosevelt, but because of his wife Eleanor, who was very, very vocal in speaking out for civil rights cause.
And now we got a presidential candidate, Kerry, who speaks to the NAACP. The president, the sitting president, does not speak to the NAACP, but yet the black community still doesn't feel that this presidential candidate, this Democratic candidate, is resonating with them.
Well, but he did resonate with the NAACP. Let's hear a little piece of a bit of sound from the NAACP where he takes President Bush to task for not coming to the convention.
The president may be too busy to speak to you now, but I got news for you. He's going to have plenty of time after November 2nd.
Yeah, so he did okay there.
Yeah, but that's hilarious. It's like, there's a lot of things he covered in that right there.
Yeah, right.
We got an applause break. And I'm not trying to be critical of Kerry. I'm just trying to figure out in some of the questions I have for my own self and with Kerry, because I had a pretty decent Kerry moment last week when I saw him speak for a full 25 minutes. I was moved. I felt uplifted. I felt confident in his. I was always confident in his ability to assume the desk of president.
Yeah.
But I also felt confident in his ability as an orator, as somebody who had something to say, and as a genuine person. Now, I think that's very important. It seems to the black community that they find somebody who, or they get behind someone who's authentic. And who seems to be speaking in a language that is human.
And who can be enthusiastically supported. And that's the problem, apparently, with the new John Kerry ads that are aimed specifically at the African-American community. Black Democratic members of Congress, specifically, of course, the Congressional Black Caucus, have savaged this new set of Kerry ads. Barbara Lee from California called them very disappointing. Greg Meeks said they were horrible. Now, Greg Meeks represents a district here in Queens, New York. And his saying they were horrible is significant because Greg Meeks was one of the first black elected officials to endorse John Kerry last fall.
Right.
When there were not, New York black Democrats were all over the map in terms of who they endorsed. Greg Meeks was one of the small number of black Democrats who endorsed John Kerry very early in the ballgame. So when he says they're horrible, they've got to listen.
Let's not complicate things. I mean, this was also an advertisement made by a black advertising firm.
Yes, it was made by a black advertising firm. But the black community speaking out like this is significant. These black lawmakers, we'll tell you why.
Okay, we'll be right back on Air America.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a half million others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt. It eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt, where now we're down to just our mortgage.
Just imagine the financial freedom of being debt-free.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. Call 1-800-300-4662. Stop renting your lifestyle and start owning your life. 1-800-300-4662. That's 1-800-300-4662.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves. Some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Hey, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning.
Tom, I'm reaching out to Tom. Tom, I did get your check, and I accept the amends that you made to me. One of our listeners, after he heard me on the radio, could not listen to me without feeling guilty for bumming $10 off me because he needed some booze. He came up to me years ago, I guess, on the streets.
I remember you told me this story.
Yeah, on the streets of New York. He told me, and I actually remember him. I must have been feeling generous, or he must have been really desperate or looking like he needed something. Mm-hmm. He said, I need some money for food. I'm in trouble. So I gave him $10. And apparently he's gotten sober since then, and he called the show, he wrote the show, and he said, I've been looking for Maron, I feel guilty with the Morning Sedition, I want to make an amends, which is part of the recovery process. And he sent me the money, and I got it, and thanks a lot.
Wow.
I relapsed with it.
Yeah. Ah,
kidding. I went out and had a beer. It was just what I needed, man. The hell with 5 years of sobriety. I went out and got loaded on your $10, Tom. Thanks a lot, buddy. No, I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. I accept, and all's good. And also, we got another letter that says, I'm from West Virginia, and Beckley really is a true hole. Let's try that again.
Post, the post.
A true hole. That was the wrong noise. You can't boing for the poop slang. All right, let's get back to the...
Let's go talk about the issues!
All right. Lives are at stake.
Okay.
All right. We see black lawmakers, the Congressional Black Caucus, badmouthing a spot aimed at their constituents by the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. Now, what is significant about this?
Political move.
It is a political move. They want to make sure that Kerry and his campaign are listening, number one. Number two, there have been a number of criticisms of the Kerry campaign in terms of having, like, this huge staff with all these different people. And when you have a huge staff trying to run a presidential campaign, sometimes your message to various constituents gets muddled because one group of people says one thing over here,
yeah,
and another group of people says something very different over there. Well, the Black Congressional Black Caucus isn't having it.
Right.
They want direct access. They could have settled this, by the way, without making it public. So you have to ask yourself, why did they go public with their dislike of the ads?
They want to wait too long.
They don't want to wait too long. They want to make sure the change happens now, but they also want to make sure that the campaign is receptive to them as a caucus. 4 years ago, after Al Gore named Joe Lieberman as his running mate, as the vice presidential candidate,
yeah,
the same Congressional Black Caucus was upset because Lieberman had come out four square against affirmative action. And there were members of the Congressional Black Caucus who actually seriously talked about not backing the ticket.
Well, they're also left with a certain amount of egg on their face, right? Because it came out of nowhere, right?
Well,
and they weren't part of the loop.
They were not part of the loop. So what they did was demand a meeting with Joe Lieberman, which took place, by the way, at the hotel where we happened to be staying. And at the end of that meeting, Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from Los Angeles, came out and said, we've settled our differences. Joe Lieberman has clarified his position on affirmative action.
And we can all have jobs.
Yeah. But that happened during the convention. What we're seeing now is the Congressional Black Caucus making sure that this doesn't happen during the convention, that they have their access situation straight before the convention.
I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that Kerry really, I have to say that, you know, once he named Edwards, it's hard to tell whether he's being very deliberate and diplomatic in his pacing or whether he's actually, there's some oversights and that, you know, he's, you know, they had to step up to make sure that happened, that he would have not maybe addressed it as soon.
Yeah, and you know, you combine this with the Hillary Clinton situation, which we'll talk about a little later this morning, and you see a couple of little minor glitches on the run-up. Now, Greg Meeks, for his part, says that after meeting with Kerry's people, he's satisfied they're going to change the spots. But let us play for our listening audience. You all decide whether or not this spot would actually make the Black community enthusiastic about John Kerry. Here it is.
I'm John Kerry, and I approve this message.
So this is John Kerry.
Is he really any different?
Does he care about me?
Find out how John Kerry will fight to bring back the 1.8 million jobs that have been lost under George W. Bush.
Can he really make a difference for me and my family?
Learn about John Kerry's plan to expand access to health care to nearly all Americans, especially our children.
What can he do for my community?
Get to know about the John Kerry Education Trust Fund. John Kerry, get to know him.
Okie dokie.
It's amazing to me that they're like, we need to have a full spectrum of African American dialect and voices.
Yes.
But where was it?
What's up with Kerry?
Where was that one?
No, the homies don't vote. That's what they're trying to say. But see, the homies are going to make the difference for John Kerry this year. That's the other side of the equation.
Yeah.
They have to get the Black youth vote into this campaign. They have to get an enthusiastic Black community. Without an enthusiastic Black community, Kerry's done.
Well, I think that most the Black youth vote, if they're going to vote, they're going to vote for Kerry.
That's the important point. If they're going to vote.
So how are they going to mobilize that?
They've got to talk to people like Russell Simmons.
Right.
They've got to talk to people who have spent some time and done some work trying to mobilize the community. The problem that a lot of Black people have with John Kerry is that there's this sort of there's a perception. I don't think it's a reality necessarily, because he's got Alexis Herman working for him. I know her, and she is really great. She's a former labor secretary under Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is that Black people do not want to be taken for granted to the thing, you know, to the point where people say, well, you're part of the base. You're going to come out for us anyway.
Well, just the youth vote in general is going to be hard to mobilize. I mean, apparently Ozzy Osbourne's doing it, too. And we'll talk more about the Black youth vote and the White youth vote after this. So come back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again.
I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Okay, all right. It's Friday morning. It's Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there. We're having a fairly enlightening conversation to me because I don't know what you think of the culture gap now or the separation of, the race issue in terms of how separate are, blacks and whites culturally right now. But I feel in my life, if I didn't talk to you for 3 hours a day,
You'd be culturally separate. No.
Well, but I don't talk to anybody. I mean? But, I know a lot of black comics, and, we always have conversations. But I feel that it's more separate than it ever has been. Am I wrong in sensing that? Or
There are indications that it is more separate, but then there are other indications, if you look closely, that would say that they're more together. The fact, for example, that increasing, 40% of the people buying hip-hop in this country are white people.
Yeah.
Some people say it's even higher than that.
Yeah.
But that's only one aspect of culture. Then if you look for a contrast to that, and you look at the top 10 shows on television that are watched by black people and watched by white people, you'll see that there are vast differences there. Almost no black people ever watch Friends.
Yeah.
Almost no black people ever watch. I mean, these were shows that were in the top 10 among all viewers. But their viewing audiences were overwhelmingly white, whereas the Parkers or some of these other shows that are on TV that are aimed at black audiences have predominantly black casts.
Well, it's interesting to me that there was a time, I think, in the 60s, during the civil rights movements, where the dialogue about race was a shared dialogue, even in comedy. That's where I can speak to it because we can't talk about it. You know what I mean? It's not our world anymore. We lost a right on some level to publicly speak about race, and now, you know, black comics get all that juicy stuff that they can really draw from personally and really address the race issue comedically. But if a white guy does it, it's really like, you know, dude, it's not your
Lenny Bruce was probably the last guy that got away with that.
It's true.
And remember too that there were many fewer black comics in the gene pool when Lenny Bruce was doing it than now.
Well, that's true, but there was always a sort of secret black comic world, like you were talking about, like the party.
Oh, the Red Fox and the Wild Man Steves.
Yeah, all that stuff. I mean, it was still happening because now there's a bunch of dudes that I don't even know. There's a whole black comedy world that operates in this other, you know, in the black community. I don't know a lot of those dudes, and I'm pretty up to date on this stuff. and I'll tell you, you know, I'm jealous of them, you know, because they have an ability to talk in a visceral, sort of active and sort of, you know, raw way about social issues that have become sort of off limits to white comics.
Well, see, what's interesting about this to me, Mark, is how you tie this into the larger American culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're talking about in terms of comics is metaphor for the lack of dialogue about race in the larger culture.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that has to do with forces both in the black and white communities that really don't want to have a serious discussion about these issues.
Right.
It's easier to have Bill Cosby badmouth black people than it is to have a serious discussion between black people and white people about issues of race.
Right.
There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilting. There's all these things that go on, and people, rather than confront them and try and beat them down and come up with an American aesthetic, okay?
Right. Well, it seems like the only place a dialogue actually happens publicly is in the hip-hop community.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the only time it's ever really addressed at all is when, you know, white performers are integrated into the hip-hop community, and that's all of a sudden, that's where the dialogue happens.
But remember that the infrastructure of the hip-hop community has almost always been integrated. Who was Russell Simmons' partner?
Rick Rubin, a white guy.
Yeah. Okay. There were always whites involved in the jazz. First of all, there have always been whites involved in the music business.
Oh, yeah.
For better, for worse, for richer, for poor. And there have always been whites involved in black music.
Absolutely. The Chess Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Example.
The Chess Brothers, program directors of the most urban radio station. Don't only get it. but the fact of the matter is that there has been integration on that level. There have been other kinds of integration that maybe we probably wouldn't want to talk about here because they have to do with illegality, but that's a whole different discussion for a different day. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you have on the one hand this kind of balkanized conservative situation going on in the black community where the voice is larger than the actual number. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, I think we should continue this and also talk about, Rod Page, the Education Secretary's comments about the NAACP. That's the liberal agenda, making the big shift into the funny.
Mm-hmm.
From the Streisand compound, here are your marching orders for today. 1, have impartial UN inspectors monitor local student council elections. Very important. 2, find alternative energy sources to fuel your anger. 3, blame America first. It bears repeating. 4, listen to Martha Stewart's sentencing. Complain she would have gotten more time if she was poor. Then complain she would have gotten less time if she was a man. Then complain about her hair. 5, today's phrase, just drop into any conversation. Of course, that's what the tobacco companies want you to believe. We'll see you in the next hour. More talk about race, more talk. We got a guest, and Barney Frank is coming up. We got a lot of stuff, so stay here on Air America Radio.
Yeah, why don't we talk to Barney Frank about race?
Okay.
Why not? In the next hour of Morning's Edition, The Dream Diary. As mentioned, Congressman Barney Frank, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, The Morning's Edition Business Report, and more here on Air America Radio.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away. Between 5, look at the horses. About 50, I have to go to the bathroom. And one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 Motels are individually owned and operated.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration is making clear this morning that there's not one shred of truth to swirling rumors that Vice President Dick Cheney will be replaced on this year's ticket by State Secretary Colin Powell, Senator John McCain, or even America's Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan says it's obvious that the Bush-Cheney ticket is cast in concrete based on statements made by the President and the First Lady, but concrete may just be the issue, as some critical Democrats and political pundits are quick to point out. Recent polls show that Cheney's involvement is heavily weighted because he's perceived as the prime mover on the invasion of Iraq. Legendary comic Whoopi Goldberg is not through with the Republican Party. If anyone felt her jokes recently about President George W. Bush at the Democratic fundraiser were salty, she unloaded a double-barrel shotgun's worth of criticism yesterday. Goldberg branded Republicans as hypocrites for trying to punish her for joking about Bush. It was widely reported this week that Goldberg lost her job hawking SlimFast because the company's management was reportedly inundated with calls about Goldberg's criticism of Bush at a fundraiser for John Kerry. Bush has already taken advantage of the situation by tying her comments to the issue of family values at a recent campaign stop. Goldberg says America's heart and soul is freedom of expression without fear of reprisal. Goldberg went on to say that all this feigned indignation about Bush bashing is quite disingenuous. There's no end to the pain that many voters in the state of Florida felt after the 2000 presidential elections because of a series of election irregularities. 4 years have passed, but those who were disenfranchised want to settle the score, charging the vote was stolen. Democratic Congresswoman Corrine Brown of Florida is among those involved in an effort to make sure history does not repeat itself. She contends that blacks in Florida were given a raw deal and is calling on the United Nations to observe the U.S. elections. Several House Democrats have rallied behind her, arousing the ire of some Republicans, among them Indiana Congressman Richard Beyer, who was sparred with Brown over the suggestion. Beyer says America should be welcomed in observing the election and not the United Nations, with the presence of special monitors at various polling stations. After much back and forth between Beyer and Brown yesterday, Texas Republican Congressman Max Thornberry ruled that Brown's words violated House rules. And a scandal is swirling around House Republican leader Tom DeLay. Two government watchdog groups have asked the House Ethics Committees to appoint an independent prosecutor to investigate a complaint that House Majority Leader DeLay traded political contributions for legislative favors. A spokesman for the congressman says DeLay opposes the group's request. The group said an independent investigator is needed because four members of the committee received political contributions from DeLay and because DeLay wields a certain amount of political clout. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
My headaches were so severe it was affecting my performance at work. Turns out I was having migraines. Now I'm getting treated and I feel like myself again.
Migraine, the pain is real. So is the treatment. Get diagnosed. For more information from the National Headache Foundation, log on to headaches.org.
Summertime savings at Subway. Right now you can enjoy a regular 6-inch meatball marinara sandwich for only $1.99 at all participating Subway restaurants. For a limited time, $1.99 meatball marinara. Subway, eat fresh.
PetSmart is saying thank you to the nation's pet parents with a huge pet food sale. Shop today and save big on hundreds of varieties of dog and cat food. You'll find your favorite brands on sale, including 20-pound bags of Iams adult dog food for just $12.99, our lowest price of the year. And save $2 on large bags of Science Diet cat food. Don't miss your chance to save at the huge pet food sale during Pet Parent Appreciation Days. Going on now for a limited time, only at PetSmart. While supplies last, see store for details.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
So what else is new?
You've been hearing the charges that the Republicans have been making about John Edwards. When you hear that there's not enough experience, remind them of what Orrin Hatch said to George Bush. You've been a great governor, but your only problem is you only had 4 years of experience, and that's why you're much better as a vice presidential candidate. That's right, George Bush has less experience than John Edwards.
Marty Kaplan on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Hey, you guys, it's Friday. Welcome aboard. We're having a nice conversation here this morning with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
My friend. And we are discussing race, which we don't talk about a whole lot. Because we just assume you know.
Yeah.
Mark's black and I'm white, and that's the way it is.
But, you know, we did have a situation this morning where a listener called in and said, this show needs a black journalist.
Yeah.
So maybe not everybody knows.
What is that? Talk about the issues. Oh, my God. The world is ending. There's conservatives in my underpants.
Our lives are at stake.
Please stop Halliburton from being in my ear in the shower. I have problems. That poor guy. I don't even know what to talk about. Probably pushing him over the edge.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God. So I'm assuming this is the hour that my mother's listening.
All right.
She sort of changed her tune. That only took 2 days of talking about her on the air. Now nothing but compliments coming from the old lady. Nothing but compliments. You sound great, Mark. Everything's good. Maybe you shouldn't talk about us so much.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And what is the jazz bebop
voice? He says, listen, Daddy-O, I think you're doing a great job chirping away there on the AM. Adios, good guy. Love you. Bebop, bop, bop, bop.
Does he wear a Lester Young hat? Does he wear a pork pie? He doesn't wear a pork pie, does he?
No, my mother and her boyfriend John are in. They dress nicely, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that whole thing. I think they spend most of the day deciding who's going to be skinnier that day.
Okay.
What are they not going to eat today? I think is the big discussion over there. You know, there's a lot of, you know, they go to the beach, they hang out, and. You know, I mean, it's Florida, my
well,
friend.
They can wear a straw pork.
I've never seen him wear a hat. He wears zinc oxide on his nose, which is not necessarily a jazz thing. Skinny, bop, bop, bop.
Give that's a
that,
Florida
give
thing.
Give me some of that stuff for my nose. Boop, bop, bop, bow.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Speaking about that, you know, it's weird because when I was growing up, for some reason or another, it was in the blues and in the black music culture. I was always like sort of tapped into that. For some reason, I was just tapped in. That was the music that I chose.
Really?
Oh yeah, man. Jazz, blues, and later on, someone introduced me to R&B. But I missed a lot of that because I was young. But I had that guy. There was some guy I knew who owned a record store.
Okay.
And he brought me over to his house. All right, you never know. You know, when you're in high school and a guy, old guy brings you to his house, you don't know really what's
exactly what's about to happen.
Am I going to get stoned for the first time, or am I going to be, you know, hurt, or, you know, do I have to, am I going to run out of the house crying? But the dude spent like 5 hours with me, and we made a cassette tape with, like, you know, Otis, Sam and Dave, everything, like the entire history of black R&B. It changed my life. It all changed my life.
See, I used to go for the more obscure R&B artists, people like the Mad Lads and groups like that that weren't really well-known, but they, you know, because I grew up in a town that didn't have, had one other black family besides ours. So whatever, so whatever black music I had to come across, I really had to search hard. Okay, you know, you listen to ABC in those days, you might hear, you know, you hear the Temptations, hear the Supremes, but then there was all this other stuff that people were listening to that wasn't on the radio, that you only heard on the black oriented music stations.
Right,
and I was the one that would, you know, be going into these record stores, combing the bins, trying to find all these very obscure kinds of R&B songs.
Just so you could go to the other black family and say, what do you
don't. No, but groups like Dyke and the Blazers, which is the most bizarre name I think that's ever been named for any group, R&B or otherwise.
I've never heard that. Never heard of
they did the original Funky Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah. Wilson Pickett did it after, but Dyke and the Blazers, he ended up getting shot in the head on Long Island Expressway here in New York. Yeah, 1970. Anyway, that's a long musical history.
But it's weird also with comedy is that, like, the first, you know, monumental sort of cathartic experience I had with comedy, you know, outside of being a young kid, was when me and my buddy Dave went to see Richard Pryor's first movie, Richard Pryor Live in Concert, when we were in high school. Like, it blew my mind. It was, and still to this day, I think that no one has ever been as honest or as candid and as emotionally sort of, you know, available than Pryor. And dealing with anything. You know, you're looking at a guy, and, like, black comics to this day are still, you know, doing Pryor's jokes. When you hear a black comic do a white person, you know, 9 out of 10 of them are doing Pryor's white.
Pryor's white person.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the other one's doing J.J. Walker.
Yeah. Dynamite! He's still around. He'll give you
a let me tell you, I saw him. I was going into a hotel in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Don't ask why.
Yeah.
And he was coming out with these two white women on his arm. I mean, it looked like a, and, you know, with the safari
suit. When was this?
This is like maybe 5-6 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, man. And he looked like he had stepped out of a 70s blaxploitation movie. It was unbelievable.
Well, I'm glad he can still get some mileage, you know, out of that.
He was doing the room at this hotel. You know, the comedy lounge or whatever it's called in Pennsylvania.
I'm not sure there's a lot of women around going, you know who I slept with in the 70s? You know, let me tell like,
you know who I slept with in 96? Oh, J.J. Walker.
It wasn't the 70s. Like, yeah, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
It was on TV, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, Ron.
Speaking of black comedians, here's Rod Page.
Let's hear a great bit from the new Rod Page CD, the party CD.
No, but seriously, folks, Rod Page is America's education secretary. He is the guy, by the way, who's supposedly in charge of No Child Left Behind. He is also a southern black person who came from extremely poor circumstances and through education raised himself up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He is also a Bush supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he was appointee, he might as well be a supporter. And he, I guess, came up on the sushi cart when the president was trying to figure out what black people can we get to badmouth the NAACP. Because obviously the NAACP slams against the president.
That must have been a pretty short list.
Yeah, exactly. Powell's out of town, Rice is busy. So Rod?
Powell's talking about something else.
Well, he's out of the country, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
He did some shilling.
Yeah, he did some shilling, but that's for international stuff. They actually let him do the... You know, the heavy lifting for the president on the international
front. The heavy lying on the international front.
Yeah, exactly. So Page, in an effort, I guess, to, distance himself from people like Kwesi and Fumi and Julian Bond and the rest of the NAACP. Now, mind you, Rod Page says he's a member of the NAACP, but this is what he had to say about the organization's leadership.
I distinguish between the leadership and the organization. The NAACP is a proud organization with a distinguished record of helping African-American people. But the contemporary leadership, I think, has gone off the edge.
Off the edge.
What does that mean off the edge? They're taking a stand that's very extreme and calling Bush names.
They're critical.
I think that's the cutting edge of political discourse.
Yeah. Well, I think actually if he wanted to, you know, criticize Whoopi Goldberg or somebody.
Just for being not funny.
Yeah, right? The leadership of the NAACP is expressing some very serious problems that they have with George W. Bush. Now, the other side of this is that we have people who are questioning Jerry Falwell's tax-exempt status, and this does pertain to the NAACP, because of his endorsement of President Bush. How does this impact the NAACP? People are worried, and this happened in 2000, that there are going to be groups that are going to turn back around and say, well, the NAACP shouldn't be a not-for-profit either and shouldn't have tax exemptions because they endorse the other side.
That's right. Yeah, it's the faith-based initiative money. Who gets that? Maybe Barney can address that. We got Barney Frank coming up. We got the Dream Diary, and we got you guys right here on Air America Radio.
Do you ever wonder why you seem to pay more in taxes than rich people with smart accountants? Do you ask yourself, what's wrong with our tax system? Well, here's a reality check. Taxes on wages and salaries are much higher than taxes on income from investments. People who are so rich that they don't have to work pay the federal government only a sliver of their dividends and capital gains. By comparison, working people owe a much larger share of their hard-earned income in taxes. Someone who makes $50,000 from working pays more than three times the taxes of someone who makes $50,000 from investments. That is just not fair. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for fixing the tax system so that working Americans get a fair deal. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hey, good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is my friend Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We are the co-hosts of Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio, if you're wondering, if you're just checking in, if you're screaming by on the knob. Here, let me try and get a new listener. Hey, wait!
Hold it! Wait, what are you? Don't go. We're going to talk about the issues.
All right. I just went to the therapist, so I dumped all my last week's dreams. This is a Friday. So there's a new dream. I got it. This is from a clear mental palette. This one came. It's unbelievable. I'm rummaging through an enormous junkyard with my dead cat, Butch. We're surrounded by piles and piles of useless, ugly, smelly crap. Butch says, "Look upon our true monuments, Mark, the American dream, rotting and forgotten." I'm reminded of the philosopher Hesiod, who said, "Acquisition means life to miserable mortals." Butch has gotten kind of pompous since she died. Everywhere things people used to love, trash. There's an old Atari machine. Thanks to you, I know more about asteroids than about American history. There's supply-side economics. It stopped trickling down, so now it's here. Unilateral military adventures. That one's getting rusty real fast. Hey, there's a Betamax machine. No one will watch Porky's 2 on that baby anymore. And there's Howard Dean. Sorry, buddy. We didn't read his instruction manual and we broke him. With a little polish and a little TLC, he could still be really useful to someone. Hey, there's Truss, smeared with grease, right next to some ripped Sassoon jeans and a beige members-only jacket. Over there is the idea that America is the policeman of the world. No one buys that one anymore. And finally, under a tattered stack of New Kids on the Block t-shirts, are Bush and Cheney. Ooh. Some kid twisted Bush's head off and wrote on his belly with a purple crayon, "I'm an a-hole." Cheney looks like someone had been shooting firecrackers out of his butt on a regular basis. The aviator glasses were cracked and stuffed into his mouth. Butch licked some stale baked bean juice off his toes. "Power," she said, "is like a desolating pestilence. Pollutes whatever it touches." Shelley. I ignore my poetry quoting cat, and I take Dick and George home, wash them off, and sell them on eBay for $6.47. The buyer is a housewife in Oregon who's going to make them into a decorative planter. I woke up, and my bed was filled with vulcanized rubber.
Uh-oh.
Butch, man. Butch, getting heady.
Butch.
You know what I mean? I love Butch. On the phone with me right now, Congressman Barney Frank from Massachusetts 4th District. It's his 12th term. He's got a movie out. It's called Who is the Real Barney Frank? And we're going to talk to him about many things. Let's Get Frank. That's what it's called. It's a documentary about Barney Frank. I'm sorry. I don't know why it says Who is the Real Barney Frank on my little piece of paper. But let's find out who the real Barney Frank is. Barney Frank, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So are you tired? Like, tell us about Let's Get Frank, the movie.
In August of '98, I was doing a fundraiser for a very good friend of mine, a colleague, Maurice Finch. He's a really tough guy, a lot of integrity, and has a tougher district. So, and I met a fellow there named Bart Everly, who was interested in film and politics, and that's not always those don't always go together.
Yeah.
So we talked, and one of the things that I had always loved watching was the movie called Point of Order, which was, I guess they call them kinescopes, the actual showing of the Army McCarthy hearings. People may remember that. That's the one in which Joe Welsh, the old lawyer, turned to McCarthy and said, "Have you no decency, sir, at long last?" And actually, at one point, when Welsh said something about a pixie and McCarthy trying to trip him up, said, "Would you tell me what a pixie is, Mr. Welsh? I don't understand the term." And Welsh, looking at Roy Cohn, said, "A pixie," said, and there was a very close relation to a fairy. And that ended that discussion right there. But anyway, it was a very dramatic, real presentation of what went on. And I thought, at the time impeachment was about to happen, I thought this would be interesting. So we talked about it, and he went on, borrowed a camera. At that point, he was kind of between jobs.
Yeah.
He was a very talented guy, but he wasn't sort of working at the time. And he just followed me around with a camera and then put together a movie that includes some of the real conversations with me walking around, talking to my colleagues, although obviously at some points I shut off the mic. But it's got some of the real stuff that was going on. Plus,
what year was this?
98, the Clinton impeachment.
Right.
And then he has a lot of the C-SPAN tapes and other things, and it's a very good story, I think. It gives, frankly, both sides. You see the Republicans, Henry Hyde and Bill McCollum and these people telling you why they thought we had to throw Clinton out of office, and myself, Maxine Waters, and some others refuting it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm going to go this weekend. What is your take on the media coverage of say, Clinton and what's going on with Bush? Why do things seem to slide off of this guy?
Well, there's an actual institutional reason. It doesn't speak that well for the media, but here's the problem.
Okay.
And I had said, people are frustrated. They said, "Why don't you guys, investigate Bush the way they investigated Clinton?" We are trying. Under Clinton, for six of his 8 years, the Republicans controlled both houses of Congress.
Yeah.
And they had all these hearings. And by the way, one of the things that it shows in the movie is my asking Kenneth Starr, because he had sent us up an impeachment recommendation on Clinton for Monica Lewinsky. But he'd also been investigating for a longer period of time Whitewater, the FBI files, the travel office. And after the congressional election, after he had recommended impeachment, he came up and told us that Clinton was not guilty on any of the other charges. And, in fact, one of the things that...
So he knew that.
Before the election, exactly. Yeah. And I, in fact, I asked him to try and prove that he delayed the good news until after the election. I said to him, well, at what point did you decide that the president was to be exculpated from the charges regarding the FBI files in the travel office? And I was startled at his answer. He said, actually, Congressman, I can't give you a date for that. We never exonerated the president because he was never implicated in the first place.
It was all big sham.
It was all big sham, exactly.
Oh, God.
But what we had was the Republicans investigated everything, couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
The problem we've had is this. Except for about 5 months when the Democrats controlled the Senate before 2001 and the terrible mass murders, which changed it around, Bush has had a Republican Congress. And here's one of the things that has just now begun to be chronicled by some in the press. The tradition in America is that Congress is independent from the executive. And even when you have the same party in control, Congress does oversight. Congress supervises. You know, Harry Truman became president because of the great reputation he earned during the war when Roosevelt was the president. Truman was a Democratic senator, and he was investigating the conduct of the war in a very responsible way.
Yes.
The Republicans now, because right-wing ideology has driven out every other consideration in the Republican Party. So the Republicans in Congress will not allow any investigations of the Bush administration. Look at the intelligence report that just came out. It said that the intelligence that led us into the Iraq War was wrong,
right.
Just plain flat wrong, mm-hmm. on the question of ties to Al-Qaeda, on the question of chemical weapons, on the question of nuclear weapons. And now they're going to do, after the election, a study of how Bush used that. If the Democrats were in power, we would have been much more honest. So that's the answer. We have not been able to have the kind of hearings about Bush that the Republicans had about Clinton. They were able to have hearings into things that Clinton didn't do wrong and make news. We can't have hearings into what Bush did do wrong and make news. And part of the problem I blame the media, because people say, why don't you say it? We'll say it, but they have gotten lazy. Unless it's officially presented by an actual, you know, formal congressional hearing, no matter what we say, they don't touch it.
Congressman Barney Frank, how did this happen, the rise of ideology over duty?
Well, I think, frankly, part of the frustrations, you know, this is kind of grandiose, but I really think this is what happened. America's role in the world changed. After World War II, America, because we survived World War II in such wonderful shape, obviously a lot of dead people, but compared to any other economy in the world, we were in good shape.
Yeah.
We had a dominance internationally, economically, as well as in every other way, for well into the 70s. And there was a kind of an unreal advantage we had. It was never going to be maintained. And what happened was the rest of the world caught up to us. So our advantage in making cars, making steel, et cetera, began to erode. And ironically, the right wing kept in place policies that kept us from helping those Americans who were getting hurt by this transition, and simultaneously said, see, it's the liberals' fault. And they managed to sell this inaccurate view that the reason white working class men were no longer facing the good economic prospects in the past was that, oh, the liberals were giving you money to the poor people in welfare, they were letting the immigrants come in, and there was affirmative action, and blacks and women were taking your jobs. I mean, I remember once saying to an audience, well, you know, if the problem is that we've lost these jobs to affirmative action, let's go on a hunt in Ohio and Michigan. Somewhere there must be factories making cars and steel for blacks and women. I mean, I don't think they're there, but that's the logic there. And Newt Gingrich, I have to say, was very clever. I think he's been a terribly destructive force. But he, among others, managed to help persuade people that the changes that global economics will bring about were really somehow the fault of these liberals. At the same time, we began to get this split in America. Most Americans have decided that what people do in their private lives is their own business, that some of the strict rules they had been brought up in about what you can read and what you can see and at what point you have intimate relations and with whom, that these shouldn't bind them.
Right.
And there are people who aren't content with following those rules themselves, but are insistent on imposing them on others. See, I think that's what drove them nuts, literally nuts, about Bill Clinton. I mean, they, to some extent, they thought they'd gone to sleep in a Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah.
And then one day they woke up and they were in a Hieronymus Bosch triptych. And they said, it's those wizards, the Clintons, they did this to us. And I really believe, and I say this in the movie, they weren't just trying to impeach Bill Clinton. They were trying to drive a stake through his heart.
Wow. Our guest is Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank. He's a Democrat. He's from the 4th District in Massachusetts. He's been in the Congress for 12 terms, and he is the star of a new documentary, Let's Get Frank. Coming up, more with Congressman Frank. Friday's Morning's Edition Business Report and Iraq, Birth of a Nation, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most, your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The White House is making clear that Vice President Dick Cheney will remain on the GOP's ticket as the Bush administration seeks a second term. Rumors have been rampant around the Beltway that Cheney was leaving to make room for other Republican Party stars. Cheney's poll numbers have been weak and may just be a liability for President Bush. Four of five House Ethics Committee Republicans investigating Majority Leader Thomas DeLay have accepted money in the past from the fundraising operation involved in the complaint against DeLay. Legendary comedian Whoopi Goldberg is not through dissing in the vernacular of the Republican Party. Goldberg holds them solely responsible for losing her well-paying gig doing SlimFast commercials. Goldberg was let go because SlimFast consumers were outraged by her visceral attacks on Bush and the Democratic fundraiser in New York. Goldberg says America's heart and soul is freedom of expression without fear of reprisal. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
If you're tired of dealing with glasses or contacts but have been concerned about the price of LASIK, now you can get the best of both worlds. That's right. TLC Laser Eye Centers is offering no payments for 12 months. That means you can have exceptional LASIK, TLC's lifetime commitment, and skilled surgeons at a price you can manage from one of the leaders in laser vision correction. More than 500,000 eyes have trusted TLC for the LASIK procedure, including thousands of eye doctors and Tiger Woods.
After 5 years and more than 35 worldwide wins, I'm still as happy as ever with my TLC Laser Eye Center's experience. I'm 20/20 with no contacts.
Yeah, that Tiger Woods. To take advantage of this limited, no-payment-for-12-month offer, call TLC at 800-300-7509. Some restrictions may apply. In fact, call today for all the details. That's 800-300-7509.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the Internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
We'll be right back.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America.
Talk about the issues!
We've got Congressman Barney Frank on the phone, who's a documentary. There's a documentary about him called Let's Get Frank, which is now playing at the Film Forum here in New York City, if you'd like to fly in from wherever you are to see that movie.
Or truck down from the Bronx or wherever.
Yeah.
Congressman Frank.
Yep.
Let me ask you, this gay marriage thing really is a very, very big sore point with me.
Wait a minute. Exactly what are you going to ask me?
Well, I'm going to ask you whether... Are these people...
He's not going to propose.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to propose.
I just want to know...
No. But we can sit down and have coffee and talk about it. What I'm curious about, Congressman, is I can't believe that the people that were promoting this constitutional amendment actually believe what the snake oil that they're trying to sell to the American people. Am I just nuts? They really believe this.
I think it divides. There is a... The people who are pushing it include... Excuse me, a small group of people who really just vehemently, viscerally dislike gay men and lesbians. Senator Santorum said on the Senate floor that sex is only legitimate if it is done for procreation.
Did he say anything about fun?
Yeah, well, not only that, I think he's got to go confiscate Bob Dole's Viagra. I mean, if he's going to be true to his position. But these are people who really, and who think that those of us who are gay and lesbian are immoral. And frankly, they believe that one of us is bad and two of us is geometrically worse if we're hanging out. There are a larger group of people, and I would put George Bush in this category, who I do not believe are personally offended, but who are just being very cynical about this and think politically this is a good issue. And if you notice, Bush was not making a big deal about this in January.
Yeah.
As the job numbers started to look good and as they hoped that things might stabilize in Iraq, in the aftermath of capturing Saddam Hussein, they weren't talking about it. Sadly for the country, and particularly badly for President Bush, the economy seems now not to be recovering at the pace you would expect after the long recession, and the Iraq situation is a sad continuing problem. So they're trying to change people's attention. Similarly, I think among the general public, there's a division. There is a small group of people, I believe, again, who think homosexuals are bad people and they shouldn't be allowed to have any fun. But
yeah.
I think the larger group, and this is what I think is what we see in play now. The larger group of opponents are people who bear no ill will to gay people and generally are against discrimination, but they've heard church leaders, governors, mayors, presidents, not so many mayors, others, columnists say, if gay people are allowed to marry, it will have terrible social consequences. Now, the answer is, of course, that it will not. And, in fact, in 2 months in Massachusetts, people have already forgotten. We've had 2 months of marriages in Massachusetts. And, of course, if you didn't live across the street from a lesbian couple, you wouldn't know it, and probably not even then, unless
right.
you're especially nosy.
Right.
So what we see is those people who were led to opposition because they were told it would have negative social consequences are saying, hey, what's the big deal?
So, Congressman Frank, this stuff, that's not sticking, and it's probably, it's not probably not over, but it definitely is not sticking as a wedge issue. Now, what about the NAACP snuff by Bush?
Oh, I think that is, dumb of him politically. If you're in politics, going to a group with which you disagree has a certain value as long as you're civil about it. I think people like to know that you are not someone who can only talk to people who will make nice to you, that you are capable of engaging in that discussion. I was very proud to be invited myself to address the NAACP convention on Monday. And frankly, I think what George Bush did was to help me kind of underline a point. The NAACP has always had the view from its founders that as a group dedicated to these issues, they should have no permanent friends and no permanent enemies. In other words, never be taken for granted, always be open to coalitions. And when I spoke, someone who introduced me had repeated this phrase earlier that they had no permanent friends and no permanent enemies. And I said, well, I agree, you shouldn't have any permanent enemies, but the crowd in power today have got a pretty long-term lease on being against you. And I think what Bush did was to confirm that. But in fact, on every issue that the overwhelming majority of African-Americans think are important to them in their capacity as African-Americans. Obviously, people are American citizens also. Some things affect you as they affect everybody. Some things, if you're a member of a particular group, affect you differently. On every issue they care about, Bush is on the wrong side. So I guess he figured they're not going to be with me anyway, and the hell with them.
But he made it personal. He talked about the leadership. He's talking about Mfume, who's a former congressman, one former colleague of yours.
Yes.
And he's talking about Julian Bond, who was also a former politician. Does he have a point when he says that these former politicians have a problem with him?
Well, first place, I agree. Quasi was a very good member of Congress. Julian is not just a former politician, but, of course, a former hero of America.
Yes.
Fighting and really taking the lead with SNCC 40 years ago, and I'm very proud I was one of the followers in that movement he was leading in Mississippi and elsewhere. But what I find is this. This is George Bush. He's got Karl Rove on his staff. He's got Tom DeLay as his ally. This is really kind of extraordinary. These are people who impugn other people's patriotism. These are the people who ran one of the most despicable campaigns against Max Cleland, a true American hero, impugning his patriotism. And then when people respond critically, they say, oh, my goodness, how can you say this about me? I mean,
right.
It's just, the hypocrisy. I got to be honest with you. I think the only other one in that category is Ralph Nader, who spends much of his time talking about how everybody else is corrupt. And then when the Congressional Black Caucus said to him, we think you should get out of the race, this is too arrogant, he goes into a swoon and says, oh, my God, what rudeness. Now, in the Bush case, these are people who have engaged in the toughest, roughest, nastiest political tactics we've ever seen in America.
Yeah.
And for them now to take umbrage because black people say, look, you have just been terrible to us, is silly.
Yeah. So you got to go. Is that right, Congressman Frank?
I do. I have to be somewhere at 8 o'clock.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. It's been great talking to you. Come back again.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. I'll be glad to do it.
All right.
The movie is Let's Get Frank. It's at the Film Forum here in New York City. The Congress is in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol.
That's right. You know, it's interesting what he just said, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this, because the Republicans do have a very good job of, they do a good job of convincing people that they're constantly being victimized while constantly victimizing
people. Why don't we hear what you think? 866-303-2270. We're talking about a lot of things. Race has been a big topic this morning. If you've got any input on that, that would be great, and gay marriage, whatever. That's 866-303-2270. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Since the handover power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 19. Leaders of Iraq. I said leaders of Iraq. Yes. So you're starting your own intelligence agency. At least that's what our preliminary reports say. Our sources over here have never been that reliable. Anyway. That's a big-time democracy thing to do, my friends. We can't stress this enough. Intelligence is crucial. Yes, crucial. Crucial. Yes. Without our intelligence reports, how else would we have learned that you had weapons of mass destruction, ties to Al-Qaeda, and that you would welcome us with open arms? Uh-huh. One caveat. We hear that you won't be using people from Saddam's old intelligence services if they've committed, and we're quoting here, grievous crimes under Saddam's regime. Look, not to generalize, but we here in America have found that the intelligence agencies who commit the most grievous crimes are usually the ones who are best at the whole undercover spook thing. Having an intelligence agency is a win-win situation. If it's good, you get intelligence. Of course, then you have to listen to them and act on their advice, which we gave up on several years ago, but it might work for you. And if they're terrible, you can blame them for everything. We haven't given up on that yet. Not by a long shot. Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. Anyway, good luck and God bless. This is Day 19 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die.
I'm going to love that segment.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Sarah in Long Island listening to WLIB.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. Thanks so much. I mean, you know what I really appreciate about you guys? That
what?
You actually verify your facts. That's really cool.
Right.
It's the first in radio. In any case, listen, I've been married and I'm on the other side of the fence now. For me, it's always been a matter of civil rights.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure exactly what the right is afraid of. I mean, have they mentioned anything about what they're afraid of if we all got married?
Oh, of course. They think it's a slippery slope to marrying dogs and having several wives or husbands.
And
you know, marrying inanimate objects. It's just this. And, of course, the hell and damnation thing. Very big.
Very big. This is the question that I've had, because you keep hearing these people talking about this cultural crisis that would follow allowing same-sex marriage. What cultural crisis?
Yeah, it's like Congressman Frank said. He was very good about it. He said they've had the legal marriage in Massachusetts for 2 months, and now it's like people...
It's a regular thing. What do you think? A bunch of gay guys are going to come and remake your house or something?
Yeah, I don't know what they think. I've always had the theory that secretly straight people think that gay people have all the fun.
Yeah.
And that, you know, now, you know, the last thing that that straight people, the last lie they have to hang on to is this marriage idea. You know, and if they take that away, then they've taken everything.
It's done. It's all over, right?
Yeah. What do we got? We got Mark in New Jersey. How are you, Mark, with a C?
Hey, how are you doing?
Are you really Mark with a C?
With a K.
Oh, okay.
Oh, with a K. My side of the fence. Thank you.
All right.
No, he just put it up on my board with a C, and I was wondering if you actually call and say, make sure you spell it with a C. So what's up? What's on your mind, Mark?
I'm just wondering if in this debate of gay marriage, the Republicans and the right have thought about the issue of what if a man has a sex change operation and marries another man? Is that a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a man? And is that supposed to be legal or illegal or what?
Well, first of all, you're going to have to get away from the porn on the Internet, because I have the same problem with trying to assess, you know, what these people do. But it's a good question. I don't know if I have the answer to that. I'd imagine that if the operation is full, not unlike the Olympics, who are now allowing transsexuals to compete as women, that there's a certain amount of time that has to go by and a certain number of operations that have to take place for them to be officially declared a woman. I imagine if that has taken place, that that would be a standard male-female marriage situation.
Gee, that was a great explanation, Mark.
Thanks, buddy.
Say it again.
We got Sean in Miami listening to our new WINZ. How are you, Sean?
What's up?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Yeah.
What's question on? For you. Why would George Bush want to go stand in front of the NAACP after the chairman of the NAACP called him just about every name in the book?
What name was that, Mark? I'm sorry, Sean, what name was that?
I don't recall exactly. I just saw it a couple nights ago. I believe he compared him to Adolf Hitler.
No.
Do you have the quote there?
No, but I know he didn't compare him to Adolf Hitler. I would have seen that. I would have reacted to that. He didn't do that.
The chairman of the NAACP has been extraordinarily outspoken.
He's been critical. Yeah, he's been outspoken. Yeah, but he hasn't compared him to Hitler. And, the question is, look, I in my own life, have faced people that have hated my guts for a long time. It's not that big of a deal. I've spoken before hostile audiences before.
He's the president.
He's the president of the United States. I just work here.
Understood. However, Karl Rove told Kwasi Kwame that George Bush would be happy to go speak if the chairman issued an apology, which Kwasi Kwame actually said was out of line for the chairman to say about the president of the United States.
Well, then he lied because they said.
So why would George Bush want to go put himself in a position?
Oh, come on!
Publicly humiliated.
How would he publicly humiliate?
He wouldn't have been publicly humiliated.
If he got up on stage, right? First of all, if that's the truth, if what you hold on, buddy, hold on. If what you're saying is true and that Karl Rove issued that statement saying that he demanded an apology, then first of all, they lied saying it was a scheduling problem. And second of all, the president of the United States should be able to get up in front of one of the larger black organizations and say, look, we've had our problems, but I want to speak to you as Americans, as people.
It's not a credible organization anymore.
Oh, no. Hold up. Let me ask you real quick. George W. Bush has been the first president since Herbert Hoover not to speak before the convention. You know who that includes? Ronald Reagan spoke before the NAACP. Okay. If Reagan could do it, why couldn't Bush do it?
The organization has become less and less credible.
Wait a minute. What exactly, how has their credibility been eroded from 1988 through 2004? You tell me.
Because it's now become not the advancement of colored people, which was a great organization in its time. It's become an extension of the Democratic Party versus being what it was originally intended to be.
Well, there's always sort of, they were all primarily Democrats. Thanks for your call. Let's address that right now. It is still a credible organization.
Yeah, of course it's a credible organization.
Not only does it, affect social change in some respects and keep a dialogue going, but, it's a powerful symbolic organization to black people.
Well, and they use the court system to advance the cause of rights for people of color. That's what the NAACP is all about.
We'll be back with a couple more of your calls, so just stay on the phone. It looks like we already got enough, so we'll see you in a minute.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meisterich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built. with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
How about going to the NAACP because it's the right thing to do as President of the United States? Part of your social obligation, your responsibility to go in front of people that might not like you instead of demand apologies like a pouting child.
Well, too much to ask!
Did I? Oh, there's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. This week's big news is the better-than-expected profits for McDonald's European division due to the introduction of something called a salad. Company reps say it's McDonald's largest revenue increase since 1987 when the corporation debuted their groundbreaking boneless, fat-free McWater. As enticing as this development may be, investors should be aware this reported 7.8% jump in quarterly sales could be deceiving. A food chain known for congealed fat and dangerous amounts of sodium can theoretically alienate its base clientele by presenting them with a healthy choice. A foolhardy action, especially here in the States. Feeling rejected, consumers may move on to another salt lick, like herds of fat, dim-witted beasts roaming the countryside in search of deep-fried apple pie. These Epicureans will eventually build their nest in front of another sickly-smelling vat of boiling lard and monosodium glutenate. This is a business plan for disaster. Our recommendation, invest elsewhere before you get your salad tossed. This has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Love it.
Hey.
And you know what time it is now? That's right. It's time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
That's right. And it's always good to spotlight homegrown talent when it comes to the Dog of the Week. Most listeners may not know this guy's name, but we think by the time we're through, you'll agree his canine credentials cannot be questioned. The name is Charles Kushner, and he's a real estate mogul in New Jersey. No, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
He's a real estate mogul in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Kushner owns or operates about 9 million square feet of retail and residential space in the Garden State. This includes 22,000 rental apartments. But Kushner is a lot more than just a big landlord. He's also a political player. Last fall, a group led by Charles Kushner and U.S. Senator John Corzine unsuccessfully bid to buy the New Jersey Nets basketball team. The source of his clout, however, as it is for most people, is money. In the five-year period between 1997 and 2002, Kushner gave $3.1 million to various political candidates and elected officials, almost all of them Democrats. He was one of New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy's biggest donors. So why is he a dog?
Why?
Now the story gets interesting. Charles Kushner has been charged with hiring two New York City hookers to obstruct a federal probe of his alleged financial misdeeds.
Ah.
How? He allegedly paid $37,000 to hire two two intermediaries and the call girls, then had the hookers try to sleep with two witnesses who were scheduled to testify in the federal investigation. One was successful and was videotaped in a Jersey motel room having sex with the witness. Kushner then allegedly ordered an associate to send the tape and the photos to the witness and his wife. There's even talk he planned to send it to the witness's kids.
Whoa, oh, man.
Did I mention the witness in question is his brother-in-law and the wife his sister?
Whoa, that definitely is the dog of the week.
This scenario, if true, would make a great Jerry Springer episode. Charles Kushner, for making us know that being rich should never be equated with being smart, you are without doubt the morning's edition dog of the week.
That was a good one, man. Right on the money. So I don't know if we're going to be able to take all these calls. I apologize. Can we take one? Probably not, right? Well, let's take one. Right. Hunter in Brooklyn.
Hello, good
What's
morning.
Up? What do you
What's
got?
Up? And Mark. Hey. Brother Mark and Brother Mark.
Yeah.
That guy, that other Mark from Florida, was he from Florida?
Yeah, no, is he?
Mark was from Jersey. It was Sean
Jersey?
From Florida.
Oh, we're running out of time, buddy.
I'll say it quickly here. President Bush, what you all just said a moment ago, as selected or elected the president, the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, you can't go before a crowd of your own people. I think we're his own people.
That's right. His own people, and that's a very important point. Hunter, we got to go, but thanks a lot for calling. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, guess who's speaking at the Democratic National Convention, plus the Presidential Palm Pilot Recovery Corner and more here on Air America Radio.
A sign. It's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More egg on the face of the Republican Party. There was a major move this week by Illinois Party insiders to draft former NFL coach Mike Ditka to pursue a U.S. Senate seat that now appears destined for the Democratic candidate. There was good reason for that. The state GOP was more than disappointed when Ditka turned them down. This because of baggage that has now surfaced with another potential Republican candidate. That candidate, Andrea Grubb Barthwell, purportedly engaged in lewd and abusive behavior while she served as a top White House official in the Drug Policy Office. First Republican candidate Jack Ryan withdrew after his ex-wife spilled the beans over a sex club allegation. Party is now scrambling to find someone else to run against the popular Democratic candidate to maintain their edge in Congress. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry yesterday addressed members of the NAACP as promised. He took a verbal swipe against President Bush for refusing to make an appearance before the group. He also went on to say if elected president, he would do much to improve the employment picture in this country.
They say that what we have now is the best economy of our lifetimes. They have even called us pessimists for speaking the truth to power. Well, I say the most pessimistic thing that you can say or anyone can say is that America can't do better than we are doing today.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry, while the president cited the schedule and other reasons for his inability to attend this week's convention by the oldest civil rights organization, Bush sought to use his education secretary, Rodney Page, who also happens to be black, to explain the real reason for Bush's inability to meet with a distinguished organization.
For 2.5 years now, we've been listening to that corrosive, mean, hateful language coming from the leadership of the organization. And so I just felt it was time to speak to it.
Education Secretary Rod Paige was also a member of the NAACP. The Bush administration continues to play hardball with the United Nations. It's refusing to turn over information to United Nations auditors, now examining more than $1 billion in contracts awarded to Halliburton and other companies in Iraq without competitive bidding. UN rep to the panel investigating the contract says his requests have been rebuffed since March of this year. Today is Judgment Day for successful businesswoman and media icon to millions, Martha Stewart. She's expected to receive a sentence later this morning for her improprieties committed with the sale of Enclome System shares. In 2001, she was caught lying. In recent weeks, Stewart has been living her life, even though imprisonment appears inevitable. Speculation has it that her actions now will have an impact on her ability to be granted appeal or even run her business after prison. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. I'm also the owner of a line of styling products with simple names like Clean, Cleaner, Soft, and Softer, which is only fitting since tracking the expenses that go into producing them has become pretty simple itself.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Laura Flanders.
This weekend on the Laura Flanders Show, Barbara Ehrenreich, author of Nickel and Dimes, talks about writing op-eds for the New York Times. Veteran columnist Jimmy Breslin discusses his new book, The Church That Forgot Christ. On sex discrimination, women from Wall Street share notes with women from Walmart, and a debate about tort reform. All that, and oh yes, your calls on the Laura Flanders Show.
On Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Big day, big day, big day. It's Friday. This is it, man. This is it. Mark Riley, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man.
Been here all morning covering the big topics, talking to Barney Frank. You missed that if you're just tuning in. You might want to get up a little earlier. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, covered a lot of race topics. We covered a lot of stuff today. And in this hour, we're going to be talking to Elaine Whitfield Sharp, an attorney, about the crucifixion of Martha Stewart. We got Recovery Corner here for you recovering drunks out there. You know, but the big news for me is if we can listen to this, that there was once a comic that some people respected, not me in particular. I always thought that Dennis Miller was nothing but an eloquent name caller, or as the comic mind Sean Kelly, the ex-writer for the National Lampoon, once said, all he did was he fearlessly attacking trivia. But now it seems that the only desire of this Rabelaisian dirtbag is to wedge his proboscis firmly into the crack of the grand old party, guaranteeing his spot in Dante's Ninth Circle, renowned for turncoat douchebags.
Ooh.
Mr. Dennis Miller, can we hear some of those jokes that he laid out while he was opening for the grand douchebag, George Bush?
This guy's off his gourd, huh? Let's face facts, if Robert Byrd were your grandfather and he went off on one of these demented screeds at Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody would look up at him and smile, and then as soon as he left the room, somebody would say, hey, what the hell are we going to do about Grandpa?
Oh, my God, make fun of the old guy.
Hey, wait a minute. Now, you know, you committed a fundamental journalistic faux pas.
I did?
Yeah.
What, was I being biased?
No, calling Dennis Miller's rant there a joke and not an alleged joke.
Man, didn't even make, wait till you hear the next one. Not only is he, like, digressed to the point where he's a partisan turd, but he has, I was always sort of a partisan turd, but this guy was supposedly the sort of cutting edge of what? Without his writers, you know what he is? It's his worst nightmare. Hack. Let's hear it.
Those two cannot keep their hands off each other.
And
yeah.
Richard Perry.
Woo! I think I have an idea for a new campaign slogan. Maybe they should use the bumper sticker, hey, get a room.
Wow, man. Hey, what happened to your writers? How about get a writer, you dummy? My God, get a room? That's not even a hack from a comic. I mean, people in regular culture say get a room as a joke when people are, you dumb douchebag. I can't believe him. I mean, I always hated him, dude. I can't.
Okay.
I always hated him because I always thought that he was a fraud, that he wasn't an intellectual. He always presented himself as an intellectual. He spawned a whole generation of detached pseudo-intellectual comics that I couldn't stand. All right. And now it just turns out clearly all the writers that were worth their salt left him. You know, because now all he's got on his own resources and whoever's writing for him right now is hackneyed, uneloquent, you know, stupid, trite little, you know, assaults on people. He's just basically, he made fun of old people and he made fun of gay people by insinuating that Kerry and Edwards were, and you talk about playing to the base. They're so base that, like, he can't even be eloquent in his hackneyed sort of, you know, narrow-minded BS.
Well, you know, that they can't keep their hands off each other came from none other than Matt Drudge, that paragon of journalistic virtue. So if that's where he's getting his material, maybe he needs a new set of writers.
I'm relieved, man, because I was so ahead of the game on this. I never gave that guy any window. I never even my wife dug his album, the White Album, which, you know, maybe it was a good album, but I just never liked his tone because I didn't buy it. Who the hell is he to condescend? This guy started out as a prop act. All right? I mean, you know, he's a liar, and now we're seeing his true colors. He's nothing but a simple-minded, narrow-minded bully. All right? And he's not eloquent, he's not an intellectual, and now he's just a court gesture for a dumb king.
Well, look, jobs are hard to come by when you get blown out by Monday Night Football. Yeah. Remember, he was on for a year, and then they said, well, we'll be seeing you. We're bringing in Rush Limbaugh to take your place, I don't know.
And they thought it was because he was too highbrow. He kept repeating the same stupid reference over and over
again.
I wish I knew. I didn't even pay attention to him enough to know, you know, what his dumb references are.
Yeah, and by the way, before anybody calls the rights, I know Rush Limbaugh didn't replace him on Monday Night Football, but they did give Rush Limbaugh a job doing football, just like they gave Dennis Miller a job doing football, and they both failed miserably.
Yeah, that, you know,
which speaks well of football, I would say.
I thought it was beautiful. I just think it's so great to watch him do what he did to himself. To, like, you know, because there was always that sort of question, you know, where are his politics? And the truth of the matter is, if you listen to most of what Dennis Miller has to say, he doesn't say nothing. He never leans any which way. He just, you know, he just calls people names. At least Bill Maher, you know that Bill Maher is sort of a libertarian progressive thinker. He's got, you know, some misogyny issues, but he's got a point of view, and it's solid.
So you're calling Dennis Miller a hoe for the conservatives?
He certainly is now. And before he was just a hoe for himself, but bottom line, always has been a fraud, and now finally he's being
being honest.
Well, you know, being a hoe for yourself is at least carry some integrity because, you know, you have to eat. But in this instance, I don't know.
But you also got to feel good about eating, don't you?
Well, you know what the sad part
is? You want to enjoy that meal, don't you?
Conservatives toss guys like Dennis Miller onto the scrap heap as soon as they're done with him. Soon as they're done, the air won't be cold from the end of his joke before they toss him over.
Yeah.
You watch and see.
Yeah.
If he can't do anything on his own, the conservatives won't have. He's part of the Hollywood elite.
Our post here, Obama on our blog says Dennis Miller, no chops. That's exactly it. That's a really good point. Because what you're seeing is a guy that's relied on writers probably for the last 10 to 12 years, 15 years maybe. So when he's left without them, which clearly he is, he's got no chops. And what he has is hackneyed, name-calling crap.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've just been listening to a preview of our Hollywood focus for next week.
Yeah, Monday we've got Mark Ebner, who co-wrote the book Hollywood Interrupted, and we've got Jerry Stahl, whose new book I Fatty is a first-person, you know, sort of meditation from Fatty Arbuckle's point of view. And hopefully, I'm going to try and find an ex-writer for Dennis Miller in my little circle of friends that might come on. I don't know if I can pull it off, but it'd be interesting to talk to them even anonymously.
I have hope. Okay. So, now, you know, we talked to Joe Lockhart yesterday, the former Clinton press secretary, about the alleged snub of Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton that she wasn't going to be asked to speak at the Democratic convention.
Yeah.
Maybe they heard us. Because in the 24 hours since we spoke to Joe Lockhart, Hillary Rodham Clinton is, in fact, going to speak at the DNC.
Let's speculate, Riley. Let's speculate. What do you think this was about? I think that obviously the Kerry camp said, look, you know, we can't have both of them. You know, John's got to go on.
Let me tell you what I think happened. I think somebody said, oh, no, you don't either.
Well, that's clearly what happened, but I'm trying to figure out what happened initially. What was the decision process? And it wasn't an oversight. I mean, it couldn't have been an oversight.
Well, you don't overlook Hillary Rodham Clinton. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your circumstances.
But you're saying is that, you know, despite the fact where she was running around going, well, I don't, you know, I'm just happy to be that someone from that behind the closed doors, he was going, you get me on that convention, Bill? I don't ever ask you to do anything for me, but I'll punch you.
But damn it.
You owe me this.
Yep. Look, I don't know if it was her, but I do know, having talked to a lot of people that have worked for her, that she doesn't play. Okay. Hillary Rodham Clinton is one of these people, if she has a press conference or an appearance, and anything goes wrong, her staff will hear about it and hear about it quite forcefully. She is, in that way, a perfectionist.
Right.
Now, which means that she's not going to put her own fingerprints on the demand to speak at the convention. She's not going to do that. She's going to say, oh, no, it's okay. It's no biggie. You know, Barbara Mikulski, the Senate women, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Her people wouldn't even have to have her come to them and say, this must not stand.
Right.
Her people went to Kerry's people and told them, this will not stand.
Yeah.
And they said, and maybe they even had a call from William from Chappaqua, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm sure that he just said, hey, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
You don't let my wife speak, I'm going to come over there and punch your face.
And now she's introducing him, apparently.
She's introducing him, which is great.
The double punch.
But see, this is what they did in 2000.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that the Clintons do not dominate the convention, which is an incredible testament to their legacy, their joint legacy.
Yeah.
Here's a guy been out of office 4 years, and they're still scared that he can co-op a convention 4 years after the fact.
Because
he's Bill Clinton.
Of course, he's Elvis, baby.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. And they know that Hillary Clinton has that rock star aura about her as well.
Let's talk about that briefly. Let's go back to what we were talking about before. The black community loved Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it that he possessed, you know, either policy-wise or personality-wise, that you think caused that?
Black people still trying to figure that out. Okay. It's 4 years after the fact.
Whatever it was, it worked.
It worked. That's right. No, you know what it was? Black people, Bill Clinton convinced black people to look purely at our collective interest. And over the 8 years of the Clinton presidency, every single economic indicator and many social indicators in the black community hit all-time highs or all-time lows. Black teen pregnancy, all-time low. Black unemployment, all-time low.
So he encouraged
black home ownership, all-time high. Blacks attending college, all-time high.
So he made people feel part of it, and he made them
But he backed it up.
Right, and on their own sort of decision, take responsibility for themselves and be part of it.
Yeah, and remember now, this was a guy who, executed a mentally handicapped black man just before he ran for president.
All right, we're going to come back in a second with Elaine Whitfield-Straub. We're going to talk about the Martha Stewart verdict. We got the President's Palm Pilot, Recovery Corner. You, as always, here on Air America Radio. Thanks for listening.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hey, you guys. Remind me to address this later, because somebody was bringing up on the blog, Tom was bringing up the Whoopi Goldberg comment and the nature of, church, not church state, but state big business melding, and then the melding of big business with celebrities and what loyalty. I got I got some stuff on this, that there's a way to look at this, you know, who shills for who and why. Obviously, that's going to be part of what we talk about on Monday. Right now, though, I got this from Jimbo earlier, the presidential palm pilot from the Oval Office. Here's the president's schedule. 6 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Got to get up early to win the swing states. Kerry's been up for 2 hours, bastard. 10:30 a.m. Arrive in Tampa. God, I love the smell of Florida in the morning. Smells like victory. 10:45 a.m. Make remarks at training conference on human trafficking. Find out if they're being trained to fight it or do it. Alter remarks accordingly. 12:30 p.m. Fly from Florida to West Virginia. Check on swing state frequent flyer miles. 2 p.m. Aboard Air Force One. Call Dick Cheney. Assure him his place on the ticket is secure. Then quietly initiate Operation Enduring Angina. Yeah! 4:05 p.m. Speak at rally. Beckley, West Virginia. Beckley. God, the things I do for swing states. If I'd stayed out of Iraq, I could have avoided this place entirely. 4:10 p.m. Speech at Beckley. Reemphasize need for constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Quietly reassure West Virginians I would never support a ban on cousins marrying. Is this on cousins marrying? Hello. Hello. 6 p.m. Arrive back in Washington. Check answering machine for any messages from new Iraqi leaders. Erase. 9:30 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline. West Virginia victory tips national election to Bush. Pundits say brilliant July speech at Beckley made all the difference. There you go. Twice a day with that.
Oh, almost got it in. Close.
We like to wad paper up and throw it in the basket here, and if we get it in, we all go, yay!
We're the Pistons!
On the phone from Marblehead, Massachusetts, is a defense attorney who defended Lisa Woodward. She represents
Louise.
I'm sorry, Louise. I said it's right here on her intro, and I said, Lisa, what's wrong with me? Representing the families of the Boston Strangler in a successful trial to clear Albert DeSalvo's name. He was a suspected Boston Strangler. Please welcome to the show Elaine Whitfield Sharp. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good morning, now, Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Well, thank you. Mark and Mark. That's us, the Marks.
The Marked Men.
Yes, that's what the Marked Men, exactly. So Martha Stewart is on trial. She's a rich, female, powerful celebrity who broke the law. And this is a pretty sexy case by media standards, eh?
Yeah, sure is. I mean, there's been more media attention over this today than Enron and Tyco and Halliburton and everything else. I mean, it's a great victory for PR victory for those people.
Exactly. Like, aren't they? They're crucifying her because she's a woman, and they should all be doing double time on their crimes.
Well, yeah, I think so. And you know, I mean, I think the only thing Martha Stewart is guilty of is, you know, conspiracy to commit the flawless pool party. You know, and thereby engender envy and emotional distress among those of us out here who just can't, you know, measure up.
Yeah, and clearly enough envy and emotional distress among the male power structure as well.
You bet. I mean, she was a white, successful woman. You know, how come Halliburton, no one from Halliburton has yet been prosecuted for this, you know, alleged $61 million deal where they overcharged the U.S. military in Iraq for fuel?
Yep, absolutely.
I thought didn't somebody cop a plea with that?
Not that I remember, but maybe, you know, you're on the radio all the time. You probably know.
That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything, trust me.
We've got a team of fact checkers looking at it right now.
As we speak. Let me ask you this.
We certainly haven't heard enough about it, but, you know, we're in doubt about it. You know, we're not in doubt that Martha Stewart was prosecuted, but we're in doubt that anyone from Halliburton was.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point that she's correct, you know. The federal prosecutors have perpetrated this myth, you know, that we have this, you know, domestic diva who engaged in insider trading, which she didn't. She was never even charged with it because they didn't even have the proof to charge her with it. You know, I mean, it's outrageous in a way because, you know, there really isn't any underlying crime for her to have obstructed or lied about.
Right, exactly. And what do you think they're going to do to her?
You know, if I'd have been the judge initially, I would have hoped I'd had the moral courage to kick the whole damn thing out. But now that she's been sentenced and convicted for obstructing a crime she was never convicted of, you know, I mean, she's looking at a minimum of 10 to 16 months, maybe in a minimum security facility. You know, it's no picnic. I mean, federal prison is the great equalizer. She'll have to face all those people for, you know, fomenting national security over the use of store-bought, you know, hors d'oeuvres. You know, she may not be the most popular lady on the block.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. Our guest is Elaine Whitfield Sharp. She is a famed defense attorney. Let me ask you this. Why do you think it is that the government, who obviously wanted to originally nail her on the insider trading thing, were not able to even charge her with that? What they ended up charging her with was obstruction of justice and making false statements. In other words, she lied.
Yeah.
So how come they couldn't get her on the substance of what they say she lied about?
Because she got the information about Sam Woxall, the you know, the head of ImCon, the biotech company. She got the information about him dumping his stock from her stockbroker. And by definition, you know, a stockbroker isn't an insider.
Right.
So they couldn't get her on insider trading, you know, securities fraud in that respect. so what they did was, and it was really, you know, a sham charge. They tried to get her because what she did after the investigation, or when it began and when it became public, was she went on the early show on CBS and she said something like, you know, I'm going to be cleared of all these ridiculous charges.
Right.
And so for declaring her innocence, the government then said, well, you know, there were shareholders in the public you spoke to on the early show, and you were trying to mislead them, and they rely on your statements, and that was security fraud.
Wow, so it was actually that public a statement. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And that's how desperate and how gossamer spin this prosecution was.
Wow. So do you think that Judge Miriam Goldman Cederbaum, who was the presiding judge in the case, do you think she was fair do you think she was fair? She was was she sympathetic or not? Do you think there was some woman?
Well, you know, on the face of it, she was sympathetic because she dismissed the bogus securities fraud charge that happened after the fact. Ergo, you know, when Martha said, "Hey, I'm innocent and I'm going to be shown to be so,"
right?
She dismissed that. But I think she's my opinion of her behavior. I don't know the judge, but my opinion of her behavior is that she has towed the line, the establishment line.
So quickly, let me ask you a question, because we got to go in a second, Wayne. Who would you pick for the poster child for corporate corruption if it were up to you?
Dick Cheney.
Good answer.
Thank you so much for joining us, Elaine Whitfield Sharp, on the phone from Marla. She defended some of the family, the Boston Strangler. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, and Louise Woodward, which was a very big case, the au pair that was accused of killing a child.
Yeah.
Was found, I believe, not guilty, as a matter of fact.
And she had that accent.
Yeah, so, the British accent.
For those of you who were jonesing for that out there, you got yourself a little fix.
When we come back, we talk to you on the phones, plus Recovery Corner, the liberal agenda, and much, much more here on Air America Radio.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still chilling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Palestinian chief of police for the Gaza Strip in the West Bank has been kidnapped. Witnesses say a Palestinian gunman ambushed the chief's car in Gaza and exchanged fire with his bodyguards. The gunman then broke the car's windows and took the chief away. Just about an hour and a half from now, the world will know whether successful businesswoman and media icon Martha Stewart will be seeing the insides of a jail cell. She's to be sentenced today for having lied about what she knew about the sale of M-Clone System shares in 2001. White House makes clear that Vice President Dick Cheney will remain on the GOP ticket as the Bush administration seeks another term. White House spokesman says the ticket is cast in concrete. Democrats and other critics say that's part of the problem. India is the scene of a horrific fire killing some 70 schoolchildren. Many of them were under the age of 10. Reports say their bodies have been badly burned. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
More and more, people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our 6-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694, and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Unfiltered.
Coming up on the next Unfiltered, we rage against the party machine. Somehow, somewhere, the right went right, the left went right, and the country went right into the crapper. Join us next time when we try to find our way back to the moral turnpike. Plus, the party machine! Here to avenge the good name of Unfiltered is author and columnist Bill Press, while Rachel is on vacation and Chuck is on the road.
This Wednesday, Chuck D. and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Here we go.
Blah, 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 blah.
What do you say, Mark?
What up? Blah, 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 blah.
Hey, that too. Let me tell you a little something.
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm sorry. This toy that's sitting right in front of me cost $1 million, so I figured I'd use it again. I want to use the $1 million toy. So, again, I'm going to get to this thing about, you know, shills, because there's a little talk on the blog about Whoopi. You know, I mean, I have to be honest with you. You know, Whoopi is no genius, that's for sure, and she's, you know, pretty hacky as well. And her comments were whatever they were. But the reason that Dennis Miller is such a heinous piece of is that, you know, he presented himself as something other than he is in a very big way, in that he presented himself as somebody who was critical of all things, you know, as somebody who was a misanthropic intellect of sorts, you know, a social critic. And now, you know, for him to sell out in this particular way he's a scoundrel. He's horrible. It's just like, it, you know, Whoopi Goldberg has always been what she is, you know, marginally funny, but, you know, political person, as are many sort of liberal democratic entertainers. I mean, the best ones really are usually Democrats or liberals, because I think to be an entertainer, to find your voice and to experience what you need to experience in order to be an artist in general, you need to have a certain open-mindedness and a certain empathy for all things, at least initially, to get that disposition. And I'm kind of rambling, but I'm saying I'm more willing to hear it from that side. It, you know, it's up to anyone to choose whether or not they want to be political and have that forum for themselves. I mean, a lot of people don't talk about it, a lot of entertainers, and like, you know, Whoopi had to make a choice here. You know, there's a very tight alliance between the government and corporations. You know, so she took a hit from SwimFest. You got to make a choice. Who are you going to talk for? You're going to speak your heart and talk against what you believe in, or talk about what you believe in, or you're going to sell milkshakes to fat people? What are you going to do?
She
I don't think she planned on getting this hit, but it also goes to show you that the corporate, you know, government alliance is very powerful.
It's very powerful because the corporations make contributions to these various government figures. Why? Because they believe in good government? Of course not.
Yeah.
They want access.
Yeah, and also, like, it's same with entertainment, even the heads of the entertainment world. I mean, the bigger companies, the parent companies, say Viacom, General Electric, say Disney, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what the politics of those people are, it's the politics of business. But once you get down to individuals, those individuals make a choice. They can shill for what they want to shill for, and they can just do their work. You know, it's up to the individual. And the choice that Dennis Miller made is so contrarian to the contrarian that he once was that it's appalling. That's all I'm saying. And as you were saying, corporations commit to pay. They want access. They want to pay money
to get
access. And not unlike this case that keeps going on about non-for-profit organizations, basically churches, who come under question here.
Well, that's that big jowl idiot, Jerry Falwell, the founder of the Moral Majority. And the name of his church is what? Now, I want to get this right. The Thomas Road Baptist Church, which is his spot down there, I believe, in Virginia.
And a friend of ours, the Reverend Barry Lynn,
is saying that Jerry Falwell, the Reverend Jerry Falwell, should not have tax-exempt status if, as he has done, he is telling people to go vote for the re-election of George W. Bush. Now, what's interesting to me about this is I have, on the one hand, what Falwell said, you know, about George W. Bush, and on the other hand, what Julian Bond said about George W. Bush.
Because, well, let me do the Falwell thing.
Do the Falwell.
This is funny because it's clever the way he did it. You know, what he's being accused of. You can't be a church leader and lead your people, your flock, your congregation, to a particular political affiliation,
mm-hmm.
because then you're abusing your non-for-profit status because you're crossing a line within the church-state separation. Right?
Now, let me stop you there for one quick second so
okay.
that people understand the one very important thing about this tax-exempt status. What that means is you do not pay taxes on your land. And when a guy owns a church like Thomas Road Baptist Church, which is no, you know, kind of 200
seats. That's a big break.
It's a big, big tax break.
Not that on top of, you know, sort of like, you know, doing the dance to get some of that
faith-based initiative money.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's what the Falwell website said. Falwell Confidential. He has emails called, the newsletter is called Falwell Confidential. And it's on his website, Falwell.com. Quote, the alternative in my mind is simply unthinkable. To the pro-life, pro-family, pro-traditional marriage, pro-America voters in this nation, we must determine that President Bush is the man with our interests at heart. It is that simple. So that in and of itself is criminal. Mm-hmm. All right, but then he tags this on, quote, I believe it is the responsibility of every political conservative, every evangelical Christian, every pro-life Catholic, every traditional Jew, every Reagan Democrat, and everyone in between to get serious about reelecting, you know, President Bush. So he tries to water it down, mm-hmm. you know, but what, you know, but it's still, it's definitely questionable, and that's why Barry Lynn is drawing the suit, I guess.
Well, yeah, and Jerry Falwell says that an affiliated tax-exempt lobbying organization and not his religious organization paid for those email messages and paid for the website. The name of his religious organization is Jerry Falwell Ministries. Doesn't it sound kind of corporate to you? Doesn't it sound like locating something out in the Cayman Islands or one of those places where you
sure.
don't have to pay tax? That's what it sounds like he's doing here.
Sure, absolutely.
Now, he says, we report news, write editorials, all of which is protected by the, Jerry Falwell standing behind the First Amendment. Isn't this wonderful?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't this absolutely wonderful?
It's devious. You know, and we've had calls. I'm sorry, you're going to. We'll do that
later. We'll do that later. Yeah, we got to get back.
866-303-2270. We'll talk about that, Julian, the other thing we were talking about. But I want to get calls on this because people get worked up about this. And if you've seen it in your congregation or your church, well, I want to hear about it right now. 866-303-2270. We'll be back with the Julian Bond thing as well.
You damn kids! Now I've got your damn Air America Frisbee?
That's right! Now you can get Air America Radio t-shirts, frisbees, hats, stickers, and more, all at airamericaradio.com.
An Air America teddy bear, travel mug, baseball jersey, messenger bag. I'm not even a liberal, but I could carry my hate literature around in that.
So log on to airamericaradio.com and wear the air.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ripa. You probably know me best as a TV host and actress. But you may not know that my sister was seriously injured in a drunk driving crash. She is one of about 500,000 people who are injured every year because of someone's careless choice to drink and drive. If you've survived a crash, or if you have a loved one who's been injured or killed due to drunk driving, please call MAD. They're here to help, and they're just a phone call away. Call 1-800-GET-MAD or visit mad.org.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy to learn. You simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD.
1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Edition. It's Friday. How do you like that? That's me playing with a million-dollar machine.
There you go.
I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
Thank you, fellas. In Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I reach out to my temporary sponsee, George W. So, George, you're out there on the campaign trail talking the talk, flip-flop, terror, new jobs, and everybody cheers. Yay, George! Do you see what's happening here, buddy? Do you see it? You say these things for the buzz you get from here in four more years. You're using your global political base as a drug, George. Yes, you are. You feed them lies, and they give you that rush, that ego boost you so desperately need. I know the feeling. Get that serotonin going. Gets all the juices flowing. I mean, especially now, you're manipulating people to get high, and that's what we call dope fiending in the business. That's what drunks do. And don't expect kudos for figuring out how to do it without alcohol, booze, you know, or drugs. What happens in November when your cheering minions are gone, huh? What, are you going to write your memoirs? I don't think so. You're going to head for the bottle, buddy. That's what's going to happen. Unless you get to a meeting. It's not too late, man. All right? Remember, keep the plug in the jug. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. You received without cost. Now give without charge. There is no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. If we don't grow, we got to go. It's alcoholism, not alcoholism. All right? First thing first, buddy. Don't drink.
There you 866-303-2270.
It looks like we're going to go to Dave, a trucker in Louisiana. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, nothing much. I want to give kudos to Riley for using the words probe and hooker in the same sentence as the dog of the week report.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. On this Martha Stewart deal, as soon as it came down, you know, I smelled a rat because you're having all these corporate scandals. And it's almost they thought, well, what can we do bright and shiny to distract people?
Right.
Act like we're going after corporate people to
right.
get a lot of publicity. And here walks in Martha Stewart, and she's perfect.
Right.
She's a small fish. They don't have to do anything. They can act like they're getting tough. But, you know, it's just a big show. What is it, a $50,000 turnaround for?
Right.
Meanwhile, you have guys at Enron. At the time, nothing was going on, so they could distract everybody.
I think you're absolutely right. Exactly what they're doing with gay marriage and that issue. Yeah, appreciate your call, Dave. Good call. We got Jerry in Long Island listening to WLIB. Hi, Jerry.
What's up?
Yeah. Hi, yeah, you guys have a great show. Yeah, what I'd like to talk about is about the situation with the NAACP where Bush refused to speak to them, and then also the situation with Whoopi Goldberg getting fired as a Slim Fast spokesman over anti-Bush remarks. Now, to me, this is actually part of a broader pattern of what's happening in this country to our right to free speech and dissent under the Bush administration. Yeah, it's almost like a neo-McCarthyism that's taking over the country with greater repression and stifling of our free expression. I mean, the only reason that Bush refused to speak to the NAACP is because they dared to criticize him. It's the only reason that Whoopi Goldberg got fired. It's the only reason the Dixie Chicks last year were banned from Clear Channel Communications for a while, and why Michael Moore got so much backlash, both at the Oscars about a year ago, and also his movie, Fahrenheit 451, 911. It was moving Fahrenheit 911. Disney refused to distribute it at first.
Yes.
And we even had, you know, there was even a case, a little known case, where there was a student, a high school student, that was visited by the FBI simply because he did anti-Bush artwork. And there was also a couple arrested for wearing anti-Bush T-shirts.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jerry. I get your point. I think that's a good point. It's maybe something I didn't entertain as much as I could have, or at all, in what I was saying about the Whoopi Goldberg incident, is that censorship, it's a very odd thing, because I told you that story once about going to a club, and the club had been rented by Tanqueray Gin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know I was going to be doing an event for the employees of this company, and they had that ad campaign, that Mr. Jenkins campaign.
Yeah.
They had two Mr. Jenkins on either side of the stage, right? And I was like, I should have been getting paid more for this if I knew it was going to be a private party for this company, you know?
Yeah.
But the club owner, who I'd known for years, comes up and says, look, man, I would never censor you, okay? You can do whatever you want. Say whatever you want about Jesus, about the Pope. You can cuss. I don't care. Just don't say anything about Mr. Jenkins.
And your eyes glazed over. Your eyes glazed over.
Well, that's the thing, is that the censorship is like, you know, what really is important is, you know, the money. And, you know, what really decides a lot of what censorship is, I think what Jerry was saying is true, that this administration also religiousizes the censorship issue. But corporations definitely do not want to be messed with, because it's all about money. And they'll go to where the money is, no matter what denomination it is.
Well, you know what? I'm going to flip the script about Whoopi. Suppose Whoopi wanted out of her Slim Fast contract.
Well, who knows?
And this was the easiest way to do it.
She probably didn't see it coming, you know. But
you don't think she knew that if she called Bush a thug and that sort of thing, that somebody would react? She may be a hack, but she's not stupid.
Yeah, but what kind of dummy is looking at a can of Slim Fast and saying, you know what? To hell with this. I'm going to stay fat, because that woman is a Republican hater, a Bush basher. To hell with that. I'm going to McDonald's. I mean, what is that?
Well, see, but this is what the corporation. Mark, this is what the corporations do. The corporations know good and well, all right? Now, follow me here, all right?
Yeah.
The corporations understand very clearly when, for example, somebody who hates this show but listens anyway and buys the products here, their hate has nothing to do with what they buy, all right? Now, they know that people may have complained about Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they're not going to go out and buy Slim Fast, even if they do complain about Whoopi Goldberg, and the corporations know this.
Yep.
They were making a political statement.
Right. Problem with two. Did you get it? Too much free time on your hands.
Yes.
Too much free time on your hands. And also, you know, you're not.
And not enough parliament lights.
Man, that's close, sorry.
Bro, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
All right, we got Debbie. What do you got, Debbie?
Hey, Debbie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. There was a controversy in New York just this week about a billboard that an anti-war group wanted to place in Times Square.
We talked about it earlier this week, yes.
They reached a compromise this morning.
Oh, yeah?
To allow them to show the billboard with the dove, not the bomb.
Okay, well, that's good.
And a ticker tape on the bottom is showing the cost of the war in Iraq every day.
Well, that's great.
That's cool.
That's cool, except we're not dropping doves over Baghdad.
No, I know. But if the argument initially was that, you know, that New Yorkers are a little sensitive to bombs,
okay.
Right? And, you know, if that is the argument, and that there was a negotiation, you know, that Clear Channel obviously said, all right, they have the contract. You know, I mean, peace is not a bad message either.
No.
You know, and the idea that they accommodated the idea of the bomb by having a ticker tape counter of how many people are dead in Iraq, you know, with the dove, I think that in some respects is a more powerful message and a pretty reasonable compromise. Because you know what? As a New Yorker, honestly, you know, I'm a little sensitive to bombs.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
I don't know if I would have associated that particular bomb on the billboard with anything, but it is a little hairy.
Anybody who was here on September 11, 2001 might well be sensitive.
So they actually, they met a compromise that created a more peace-oriented message.
Well, allow them to at least speak.
All right.
So is that a new bit?
Yeah. Are we going to come back with a couple more calls or what? All right, so yeah, stay on the line. We'll be back in a second. I am Mark Maron, and this is Air America. That's Mark Riley. We will both be here to ease you out of this morning's edition. We've got the morning's edition as well. See you in a minute.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Yes, hang it. Sorry, I'm showing my my towny roots. I got my heart in all different places, man. Jazz, rock and roll, R&B, and AC/DC. Let me clear something up. I screwed up. I apparently was designing my own billboard. The billboard in Times Square is going to be a dove with the American flag, I'm assuming, and the ticker tape on the bottom is the cost of the war. I somehow thought it was the number of dead that would change on a day-to-day basis, but I guess that's a little darker. And
that's ticker, not ticker tape.
Probably a little more impactful. Yeah. So anyways, are we taking another call? We are.
Sure.
Let's see what's going on with Nick in Orlando. How are you, Nick?
Good, man. Right on.
What's up?
Nothing. For one, I'm a soldier, a member of the Army Reserves. They're trying to send me over there. Also, I have a story of the church I go to.
Oh, right.
Or was going to. One, the pastor was doing a sermon on gluttony, and he started it by saying that he missed the days of Bill Clinton because it allowed him to ignore his own gluttonous behavior. And the next one, there was a pastor talking about World War II and how his father served, and then how Bush was in Italy and how people were protesting Bush, and he said that they were protesting World War II. and that it was an absolute shame that they were out there protesting World War II.
What kind of revisionistic, weird BS is that?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's crazy. I mean, it's almost like he's up there. He's got a congregation of you cats listening to him, and now he's got you under his spell, and he's like, let me see if I can rewrite history and make you think.
That's exactly what it is. And what's more is they'll start with, like, this. It's that New Age Christian crap where they start with the rock band, and everyone's jumping up and down. And
oh, yeah,
they
now is
all
the time
animated.
To worship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they get you all worked up, and then you're into it, and then they start with this, you know, of everyone hates America, everyone hates good Christians, and so on and so forth, and Bush is a good Christian. And then what the worst one was, though, was this 2 weeks ago, the pastor was telling the story of Moses in the Promised Land, and he said Moses sent out 10 guys to scout the Promised Land. They came back and said it's a waste of time, this is BS, blah, blah, blah. So Moses died, and then Joseph took over. Joseph only sent 2 guys to get actionable intelligence because he knew he was a good leader, and he knew what was best.
Get out of here!
Whoa. Swear to God.
Oh,
swear to God.
God.
Those are exactly
terrible.
Thanks actionable
for
intelligence.
Oh, man, thanks for your call,
thanks,
buddy.
And, hey, Nick, when you go back, man, be safe, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Okay, all right. Take it easy. Wow. Can you believe just rewriting the Bible, putting contemporary references in it that support the political agenda of the ruling party at this point in time?
Hey, wait a minute. I can do that.
That was a hell of a sentence. I got middle of that sentence, and I know where it was going to end. I feel a little cuss bug. There's something, a cuss word wants to come out of my mouth right now, and I'm afraid to talk.
Turn that frown upside down and stuff the cuss word back where it came
from.
Oh, wait,
maybe a couple of these will work.
There you go. Perfect.
Hey, I want you to have a... Oh, wait. This is a great million-dollar toy.
There we go.
Have a good weekend there. So are we taking more calls? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's it. This is it. It's our final liberal agenda for the week.
Uh-oh.
Get your notebooks, get your pens. Here we go. One, have impartial UN inspectors monitor local student council elections. That actually might become necessary. 2, find alternative energy sources to fuel your anger. 3, blame America first. It bears repeating. 4, listen to Martha Stewart's sentencing. Complain she would have gotten more time if she was poor. Then complain she would have gotten less time if she was a man. Then complain about her hair. 5, today's phrase, just drop it into any conversation. Of course, that's what the tobacco companies want you to believe.
There you go.
Have a great weekend. It's been fun today, Mark.
It has absolutely been a great deal of fun. Coming up on Monday's Morning's Edition, we are taking on Hollywood with the authors of I, Patty, and Hollywood Interrupted. That's Monday's Morning's Edition. And don't miss the best of Morning's Edition, Saturdays, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, here on Air America Radio. Have a good weekend.